Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. I'm hoping that my microphone works. I am always just a little bit nervous that it's not, but hopefully you can hear me. I just got back from a birthday trip, so I haven't really prepared a whole lot. There's a couple stories I want to cover, but you know, I want to talk about the Dalai Lama asking a little boy to suck his tongue. I mean, good Lord. I can't believe more people aren't making a bigger deal out of that. And the leak, the Pentagon classified papers leak about Ukraine. Some people in the in our community think that it was like a soft disclosure by the CIA. So basically a psyop. Some people are, you know, thinking that it's worse than that, but it kind of confirms that there are U.S. troops fighting on the ground in Ukraine. And Elizabeth is with us.
Hello. Hello. Did we go to war overnight?
I don't know. I was camping, so.
I thought we were fighting over our rights to have our body, our choice, and our guns. I missed the war. Huh. I wonder how that's going to pan out for you. Huh?
I don't know. I can tell you that if there is some kind of a civil war, I know exactly where I'm going. I mean, this place where we were this weekend, it was in Ocotillo Wells, in the middle of the desert. I have been cold for the last 6 months, and I finally got a little bit warm this weekend. It was like perfect weather.
We're going to have all of Hell's Angels coming to your campground. Don't tell people where you're going.
Well, that's basically like, no, you, it's not a campground. We stayed at a campsite, but right across the street is this, this bar called the Iron Door. And this place is like, it's like something, I've never seen anything like it. It's this little tiny hole in the wall bar. The owner was very much pro freedom and, just the coolest guy. And it's safe. Like that's where I would go. Because there's everybody has guns, everybody has vehicles, you know, big like off-roading vehicles. Everybody has, and it's a cute little community. Like they all like help each other out. And, I don't know. It's just a really, I mean, I probably couldn't stay there in the summertime because it gets up to like 120 degrees, but
you would adapt with everyone else because you know no little ways. But that's why there's usually two bars in towns like that. My dad had a little place like that in Wyoming.
Are
the coolest little. And I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I'll tell you off there. But it is.
Yeah.
It's a small little place, and they can't build on it because it's kind of on the Laramie territory. That they were all fighting over Standing Rock, that territory of the Indian land. And it's a small, so nobody can technically build anymore or anything because it's not really ours. But there's a little town there, and there's a lot of little towns around there. That's the West. That's what the West is. And it is like the last frontier of your freedom of being able to do what you want. Even back in the 1970s, my father hated it out here in Illinois because, you know, he was the don't tell anybody, you know, how you vote, how much money you have, how many guns you have. Those are the three principles of living and mind your own business, pretty much. And look at the world we're in now. Seriously. And I had an opportunity to talk about this with my little nephew over Easter because my sister is doing the, she's taking the whole family to the gun range and they're going to get their, you know, their concealed carry and whatnot. And my little guy's telling me, I'm like, try to tell him how to be careful because, you know, accidents happen. And I showed him my little accident from when I was a kid. And because I'm like, oh, no, we, that's a good thing, but you got to be careful with guns. To just do. And and I said, well, no, no, we don't do the cards. We don't have to ask permission to have a gun because it's, we start talking about our rights in the Constitution and even all the surveillance. And my sister, she goes, you're absolutely right. I said, yes, I am. And look what we've got. We've changed our whole world away from what our freedoms really are and enslaved ourselves. And I did get a fight. And a 9-year-old, I go, I'm going to bring you the Constitution. She goes, no, we have it. I said, well, then maybe brush up on it because that's what it says. Your Fourth Amendment right. Your right to privacy has been violated with a surveillance state and whatnot. But it was back in the 70s. My father hated it here in Illinois. And he bought a place in the middle of nowhere because he could have, you know, had the quintessential gun rack in the back of his truck. And he could drive around with a beer. And it was legal. They have drive-through bars in Wyoming.
Oh, wow.
It is drive-through liquor stores in the middle of the mountains. And it's a whole nother way of life. And those are the cool places. And people do respect each other. They look out for each other. They all grew up watching Gunsmoke. You know, they all know how to, you know, community is everything. Little House on the Prairie. And those kind of things. We don't have to like that now. Our society, we have not one little thing to glean anything good from on TV. I can't think of one little show that has any message of any hope or to be a good person or how things should be or used to be. And I just got into a squirmish on Facebook. And I'm like, I'm going back to my YouTube. I was doing the Epic of Gilgamesh in Mesopotamia before I decided to do this show, so I could be someplace else and have my mind not bogged down with the crap that we have. And the first thing you're like, talking about the troops and heading over to Moscow. But the fight on Facebook was over, is it right? So is it right and ethical, even though the law says it's okay. My friend is hunting. He's hunting. It's spring. He's hunting turkeys. I get springtime. This is wrong. You can't hunt during the spring. Then I get 15 million, you know, little, this is, it, I can, the state of Illinois, la, 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 all the other states. It's still wrong. Sorry, not sorry. It's wrong. You don't kill animals. And have you not watched Bambi, for God's sakes? You don't kill animals when spring is mating. It's a seasonal thing. Spring, the whole world wakes up, the trees wake up, the animals wake up, they have their babies. You don't go hunting them. You just don't. You wait. But, nope, he's got his God-given right to do all this stuff. And I'm like, that's really what's wrong with the world right there, is that we don't value the basics of what is good and what is bad. You know, we're bad. That's a bad steward. You're a bad steward of the earth. If you just go out and, you know, there's going to be a time when those animals that you should have probably let mate and breed, you might need them later on, but you decided to keep their population down because that's your job, right? The government's doing the same thing with us. We're keeping our population down, too, because they've decided there's too many of us. It's kind of like, where's that fine line of what's right and wrong and all of that? But back to, we don't have it. And we've just, and here's someone who's supposed, you know, a decent human being, but it's like, if you are going to fight to the death over your right to do something and you know it's not right because he made a comment that something stupid, surprise, surprise, is going on in Illinois and they passed so many laws that are ridiculous. And he's like, well, I'm going to go hunting whenever I, you know, and off he went. And I'm like, you know this is wrong. You're just doing it because it's a free-for-all now. And you'll do what you want to make a ridiculous point. Those kind of people matter. That's the kind of attitude we need to sift through the ass. That's an asshole. you know what I'm saying? It's the spirit. If the spirit of our world and our country is a spirit of an asshole, how do you ever expect us to have any good karma or raise it? You know, we're almost like we're going to get what we deserve. If this is our high echelon end of the society is people who think like this, we're doomed for destruction, and you need to find a place, a hole in the wall where other people do feel completely different, and it's a different set of values, and it's cool, like you said. And that's how since the 70s is how long that we've been under this different way of life. And now it's like, you know, I'll tell you stories about how the 70s, how my fond stories of the 70s, my, you know, it's nothing now. My dad would have like burst into flames and had a stroke if he woke up and saw what the world was like now. I'm quite sure he died about 20, seriously, he died about 20 years ago. But it's so different. But, you know, with that mentality of if it, and I thought this is like kind of a cool topic to discuss because it goes into so many areas. Like with this, the thing that's going on with Julian Assange. And with this new whistleblower that they decided in 2 seconds, he's like Lee Harvey Oswald. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. They haven't, like, changed their dynamic of how they, you know, the way that they've described the shooter standing up against a counter, the same kind of counter in all these three pictures on his account. I'm like, this is just such a sad story that you've created. And it reminds me of Lee Harvey Oswald in the Time magazine picture that was doctored. He's the lone gunman and blah, blah, blah. And here's this terrible whistleblower that leaked all these documents. And we must shut down social media and this and that. And then, ironically, in the same week, we've got, you know, people fighting for Julian to get him released. The squad jumped on board and were like, we need to release him. There should be free press and blah, 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 blah. And then you've got this crazy event that comes up. And it's like, oh, no, look, look. And now we went to war and we're in wartime espionage. And it's like, because it is legal, and it's legal to well, they have the laws to protect whistleblowers. Then you have the right to the FOIA requests. Public, we should be able to see these things. They shouldn't be squirreled away and be top secret. There's certain things
well,
we should
not only
be
that, not only that, but not only that, but you know, the things that get classified are not, you know, there's a reason to classify things. If it's going to endanger sources and methods and, you know, then, yeah, that's a valid reason to classify things. But really the classifications just come as ways to hide embarrassing information for, you know, from politicians and war crimes.
To
you know, if it's a war
criminal
crime, it's going to be classified.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a wonderful cloak of invisibility to hide upon, to classify something, and we can get away with it. You know, it's ironic that, you know, it took 20 years for this documentary. I'd like to watch it sometime, if I can remember it out there. But they did a documentary on Iraq and how wrong it was. And it's like, oh, still have someone being persecuted and held, you know, against all levels of what is good and what is right and true, you know, the freedom of the press, you know, free speech. He's being persecuted over calling out these sim war crimes that CNN is now documenting this whole thing was wrong. And they were like, let him go. You know, it's like, this is interesting. But that was a never-ending drama of covering up things that should. What was the torture prison? Gitmo, with Abu Dhabi, where they were torturing. We used torture. Oh, but it was okay because it was bad guys. They were the bad guys. We could treat them any way we want. It was like horrifying in real time watching what our government was justifying for a war that we had no business doing. And you get into this crazy land of crazy. And the mentality of these people that will defend this are the same people that are, they went apeshit nuts over mediocre beer in a bad PR program. And they shut down canned Budweiser Light. but they won't.
Right, that's
stand
the,
up for the
distraction
children.
Du jour.
They won't stand up for the children, and they won't. What will you? Oh, we'll stand up for this. That's the same ridiculous mentality. It's like we must go to war against these people who, and it's like it's irrational. It's irrational, and in order to, you know, continue with that mass hysteria, they had to cover their war crimes. Nobody could see this. And now all of a sudden, there's a documentary on it. Makes no sense to me. But now they're doing this entire... It's like this cyclical. We've done this before. And you think we're going to fall for it again. Because it worked once, you do it twice. And you'll do it every 20 or 30 years because, you know, they're not that smart. And the powers that be keep doing the same things and the same constructs work upon us. And it's like, I don't think so. But now, if you don't agree with us, we'll shut you down. There'll be censorship. And on the other hand, it's like they're finally thinking about letting this man go, Julian Assange, but in the same breath, they're going to arrest some kid who everything I've watched, they're like, this doesn't make sense. This is not the kid that did this. They found him too quickly. He's 21 years old, number one, right? And they found his accounts, his Instagram and Facebook. There's four pictures of him, all kind of staged. He's a kid. He doesn't have all kinds of weird shit out there, like the whole
world. Yeah.
His pictures. It's structured. And I just base this upon the New York Times. I read it today. I'm like, oh, this reminds me of the lone gunman story. So, and I'm like, where are more? No, it's too well laid out. And then you've got Judge Napolitano and this ex-CIA guy. And he's doing a great show. I just found that yesterday. But they were talking about that, and they're like, there are too many gaps. This doesn't make sense. There's no way in the world this guy would have these clearances. This stuff came from the very top. So here's the very top of the corrupt Defense Department. And now we're going into this money laundering, you know, fiasco, which is the Ukraine. And now we won't even politely say, oh, I guess we were wrong. Pull away from it. We're going balls to the wall.
We're just going to go after this. After
war,
the kid.
Despite, and it's like, and then here, are they trying to use this kid as like their Twin Towers moment for us to go into the Ukraine? It's kind of odd. It's an odd scenario. Because I watched Lee Camp, which I invited him. I'm like, come on our show. So I was... like he will, but it would be cool because he did such a good thing.
Well, he went on The Missing Link.
Did he? Well, maybe he'll come and talk to us because I think we'd be able to match wits and have a fun time. But he did a great thing on peace is breaking out, and it's such a terrible thing. The bastards want peace, and we refuse. You know, it's peace that was brokered in China. It's China brokered peace, which is wrong kind of peace. And it's like he's got all these amazing articles from this news source and that news source. And, you know, me, who I don't want to even watch the news anymore, I'm like, oh, doesn't surprise me because, you know, we're under the psychological operation of mind manipulation that it doesn't matter if the entire world is screaming, please let's not have a nuclear war. And matter of fact, you people are psychopaths. You're crazy. Let's cripple them by taking their money that they think they own the world and they're in charge of all the toys. No, because you don't have any collateral to back your money. So now we've built a new world currency behind your back, in front of your eyes. And now you're not the big, you know, man on campus anymore. Well, we refuse to even open our eyes and look at this, you know, our president has those terrible pilot shades on and stumbles and doesn't know where he's at. So, you know, he refuses to see what's going on in the world. He even backed peace in Yemen after we've been, you know, bombing Yemen for 20 years. oh, yes, we'll have a peace deal. So we could go into Africa and rape, pillage, and plunder and bring them democracy everywhere. That's our new playground. But in the meantime, we have to commit to this money pit that the Ukraine is. We can't. They keep talking about there's not an exit ramp for us to jump off of to get out of this. And to save grace, we have to go balls to the wall. But that means imminent death to the planet, because the toys that are coming out of the toolbox are not good toys. And you're just this is, people are scared of what's going on. And of course, our soldiers are there. Of course, they're there. Why not? It's a slow news day. Let's do this. It's crazy, absolute craziness. But that spirit, that mindset of it's okay for me to go hunt animals in the beginning of spring, because it's the same mentality of it's okay for me to kill my baby because it's legal, and it's okay for me to park my car, you know, in front of your garbage cans, even though you're 90 years old and it's hard for you to get around. This is where I'm going to park. It's just that asshole mentality that is what keeps us back from being everything we could be. And I don't know. It's crazy. Craziness. But anyways, Lee did a great thing on it. It was just like the absurdity of the Biden administration calling out this peace brokerage as being something bad because China's doing it, and it's evil. It's an evil peace talks. And it's like, what kind of fucking world are we talking? Where are we living? But he did his. It was so good. It was so, so good. It went on for about a half an hour. But I don't even think people are able to be given the opportunity to see this and look at it for what it is. It's absolutely ridiculous, the bubble of crazy that we're living in.
Right.
In this country.
And they did a good job canceling him. They did a good job canceling Lee Camp. Like they, you know, because he was affiliated with RT, right? And so as soon as this war started, you know, they shut his shit down. And, you know, and even before that, he was labeled Russian-affiliated media, right? And then now NPR's all in a huff because they're saying it's, you know, it's state-sponsored media. And it's like, well, it is state-sponsored media just because you got, you know, we give money to NPR, right? And so take your medicine. Mm-hmm. If you really think that, you know, that Russia, RT, is state-sponsored, then you have to, you know, go by those same standards because they are state-sponsored. And they're like, well, we're not going to be on Twitter anymore because they're calling us out for who we really are. You know, it's like, that's bullshit.
Poor truth. Poor Twitter. We'll miss you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fine. We're not going to be on Twitter anymore.
But anyway, so Lee really is, I mean, when I knew of him, he was just this amazing, he was like John Daly, who used to be good, matter of fact, when he first came out. John Daly was like this very witty, satirical, but real smart political humorist that happened to have a show on Comedy Central. And then did he go mainstream? He just totally changed his, I don't know, maybe he got bought and paid for, or maybe I changed, I don't know. But he used to, back in the day when Jon Stewart first came out, he was good. And Lee Camp reminded me of that, because he was witty, he was passionate, he was bringing out the irony of politics in the news, and doing it with a flair and amazing. I didn't really even, you know, affiliate him with, you know, Russian media and RT, because, you know, we have so many abbreviations for things. It's pretty cute. I used to call them memes, these little cartoons you put through. No, I'm so cool, I call them memes. And it's to, you know, it's from the old folks to the young folks. You know, you give me a GM, and I'm like, well, General Motors to you too, kiddo. Because we still talk big words. complete sentences, and all these abbreviations mean absolutely nothing. These letters that you pile together in twos and threes, we're like, I don't know what that means. That's about the same as RT. I'm like, that's just another station. Like ET, ET Tonight, Entertainment Tonight. They had all these little things. But all of a sudden, here he comes. You know, he was really, him and Kennedy. Kennedy from the MTV that she got her show, he kind of came about the same time, right? Didn't they come up together?
I'm not sure.
I think they did. But or relatively same period of time, where they were just smart, witty, satirical comedians that were taking their poke at making light of the news, which is what comedians used to do back in the day.
Right.
More like they were political analysts. And, you know, she became, you know, Kennedy was on MTV back when MTV started saying, we're not going to do music videos. No, we're going to do all kinds of crazy things. And she was one of their DJs. And then she's on Fox doing ridiculous things. But he was coming up about the same time. It was kind of like these dueling channels, stations. And my point is that right about when he started making too much sense and becoming a threat and calling out all of these crimes and nefarious motivations of our government and state-sponsored media, that is when he became dangerous and had to be taken down a notch. And that's, I think, in the society that we are living now where all of us dare not speak out that the emperor has no clothes because they'll come put you in jail because you went to a Trump rally or you. I heard somebody got arrested for posting a meme on Twitter or Facebook about Hillary Clinton and got him in jail. And I'm like,
charged. He got charged. Do you know what the meme was?
Yes. I don't know. I'd love to know. What was it?
It was a picture of Hillary Clinton and saying to Hillary Clinton supporters, now you can skip the voting lines and you can text your vote into this number. Now, right after that, there was one made by a left-wing person telling Donald Trump voters that to text your vote, skip the lines. Text your vote in. Now, that person didn't get arrested. That person didn't get charged. But the one who did it against Hillary did. If we're talking about fair justice system.
That's very interesting. And it's very frightening because isn't it how we vote now? we're going to be doing it forever. You can either text it or mail it in. And why not text it? You know, do it from home. You don't even have to get up from your PlayStation. Wow. Now, that should really, really send some shivers up everybody's spine. That the innocuous bullshit that we do on our little apps, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, and now the TikTok, now that's the fascinating thing, is that they're going to ban it, and they're going to test ban it in Montana, of all places. Nobody lives in Montana, and I think perhaps they're being bought and paid for with government military money, because I bet you there's some kind of military installation with all that free land
now,
up there.
Okay, so I understood the TikTok ban as if they were only banned on government devices. I think Montana may have pushed the boat out to its citizens, but it's so unconstitutional. How is it accomplished?
It's the pushback. The story, and I got this from NPR because that's all I listen to is NPR or this ridiculous AM Chicago station for the brief news. I'll give you three sentences and that's it. You need not know anymore. So this came from NPR, and they said that this is going to be a test, like an interesting test. Case because they did push. It's almost like the abortion when the states took on the abortion laws. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my God, and they passed them, and now we have to have abortion safe zones. And well, it all depends on the backlash. And then, like I said, nobody lives in fucking Montana. Who's going to have the backlash? Don't we have a Joe? Is Joe from Montana? He lives there. But what kind of... what kind of backlash are they going to have? So since it went there, then I guess, you know what, who wants state money? Who wants federal funding? Colorado's pretty liberal. And then Wyoming is, they've got their plants in there that people are moving out there trying to upset the cart over there in their little government world. We'll see. And then, of course, hey, if there's federal money, it got to come to Illinois. It got to come to California and New York. And then TikTok will be banned because, you know, look at what happened with this little 21-year-old Army reservist, military, Air Force, whoever it was. It's dangerous. And now that we're at war with Russia, I mean, I could just see it going all the right directions that they want it to go in. And we won't be able to, you know, have papers delivered anymore. It has to come through state-approved apps, whether you get your news from and where it comes from. Because
yeah.
It's safe. We're, it's so insidious. But TikTok, I'm finding out, because I thought, oh, this is just stupid. All these apps are stupid. I can't stand them. Why do I do this? And why don't I just, you know, paint or write a song instead? And because they're addicting. That's why they're addicting. It is. It's like a slot machine for gamblers, really, when it comes down to it. Also, helps mankind's pacifier. It helps you to not feel like you're lonely.
That's true.
They will never get them out of our hands. So, you know, the powers that be are benevolent.
Yeah.
And government to take good care of us needs to make sure we're safe and our thoughts are safe. Because I've heard that too. We got to make sure your thoughts are safe. I've never heard that on NPR. I'm like, oh my God. You cannot have TikTok is not under the control of Bezos and Zuckerberg and Biden and the DOJ, Mr. Garland. Can't say what happens on TikTok, apparently. And I installed it, and because I've seen some fantastic information coming here. And the guy that I bought my car from, I took it in to get washed, and we're talking. And he's like, that's where you get your news, TikTok. Because you certainly can't get anything on TV or anywhere. It's like, this is where the news is breaking out. I go, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? So we're dangerous. TikTok is dangerous. It needs to be stopped. And this is how they're going to do it. One little test run at a time. And just like with taking your guns and with the abortion, once they get their foot in the door and it doesn't get struck down right away, how many things have they done that are unconstitutional? Wasn't this entire vaccination program, vaccine passport, the locking down of your businesses, sequestering in your homes, wasn't that unconstitutional?
Yeah, all of it.
But
I can tell you in Ocotillo Wells, they didn't close down. And they made fun of anybody who walked in with a mask on.
See? That's the place to be. And there's lots of little places like that. And those are your people. And, they're half of Illinois. If you leave the 3, 4, 5 counties that are closest to Chicago, the rest of that, the whole state, freedom-loving. And they're the ones that were up in arms over the gun law. There are lots of people out there. It's just a shame that there's no level playing field of fairness, because we know that with all these people who feel this way, the corrupt, horrible politicians still get reelected miraculously. And it's like at this point in time, we know the old adage, you cannot fight City Hall. There's somebody higher up that wants these puppet heads that will do their bidding in power, because your state is a test state for complete world domination of, on every level, be it the spraying program that they've got going, whatever crap they're putting in your water that's making you stupid and apathetic and sick. You know, how can we control a population? That's kind of what that's what I see going on. And it's just kind of, it's a recipe for disaster, because you have to be a better guest. If you're a guest in someone's house and being, you know, the fact that most people think that politicians work for you or should be servants of the people, you should have some respect for the people and how they feel. There's a good way of doing this, and they're certainly going about it the wrong way. You have to pull back the tyranny just a little bit and have a little bit of course, which is what I'm seeing a lot of school districts are doing now, is they're pulling back from this tight rope they had, and now they want everybody's feedback. And it's like, we want to work. We're not doing anything till we hear from you. What direction do you want us to go in? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is crazy. Don't fall for it. Run. It's a trap, guys. Go back and homeschool. But that's the way to do it. And not this my way or the highway kind of tactics of what they've been doing. It's incredible. It's incredible. But in the meantime, it's like they're strategically, you know, anything that gets a bad light upon what they're trying to tell us to be true needs to be taken away and taken down a notch, whether it be Lee Camp, which I think we should all support Lee Camp. He's on Rumble, and support him because he's brilliant. If you get bored and you're like,
oh,
what can I do? Go on. I think he must be on YouTube, but I know he's on Rumble.
He's not on YouTube. They
took
down his channel.
Did they? Well, see? Welcome to North Korea, guys. But
I mean, my YouTube channel got taken down before it was cool. So, you know, there's that. His didn't get taken down until the war. Mine got taken down, you know, due to COVID. But, yeah. This isn't a competition, though.
No. Well, sometimes life is a competition, but I think you're both right there, and the Olympics are fantastic.
Yeah, and I every time there's a show around here, I always get, you know, I always get the VIP tickets, you know, because he's just amazing. I've always been a big fan of Lee Camp.
He is, but there's people like that. We need the support. Naomi Wolf. She's making the rounds. She just made a fantastic book that has documented the Pfizer effects, the effects of the vaccines. And it's like, oh, my God, how did that get published? It got published, and it's out there. People need to buy it and read it, and here is the proof. God, there's another one, Whitney Webb. She did a book, and I'm like, how is she not going to be, you know, let's pray for her. No, we don't have to. She got a book published and then came out with all this. It's like, that's brilliant. But who did this? There's like this collective, there has to be a collective movement of good people. And there are good people out there that are afraid of what they see and are willing to risk their careers to get the truth out there. Because otherwise these books would not get published. But she did a book that, like, totally blows away everything that's going on. It's like, holy cow, is this amazing.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
It's just, it's on Amazon. And who was she on? Ooh, she's making the rounds too. So whoever will have these people on, give them the platform to speak the truth that we are all thirsting for, that the and I don't believe it's even worldwide. I think there is like a bit of freedom all over. I think we've been bamboozled. as to what type of governments are out there, because they have us under such a bubble of control. And I was thinking about just how incredibly different it was in the 80s and how quickly that changed when they took the towers down and we became this country that was imprisoned by psychopaths that wanted us to be in a constant attack mode. Attack, defense, we're under attack. We have to go after the bad guy. We've been in war since for 23 years. And not even just going in to make sure that people are not being oppressed. We're going
in. Jimmy Dore says he used to say, leading up to the 20th anniversary of going into Iraq, he's like, you know, just a couple more years and we get a gold watch. You know, like, it's been so long.
And people don't even know this. It's kind of like, what do you mean we've been at war? When that first came across my view, and I'm like, oh, we have, but it hasn't been here. We've been all over the world bombing and destroying every country, but nothing bad goes on here. This was before we started having all these mass shootings and the whole world went to hell and erupted in a psyop of crazy over here. There was a time when it was peaceful. And you're like, we were living in peace, tranquility, pretty regular existence. But we only got what they want us to hear. We were just always spoon-fed this delusion of what our reality was. And it's gotten to the point where it's, you know, people call it, it's like a clown world. It's crazy time. It's surreal. It's like, you know, murder hornets this week, next week it's the aliens. It's like, but that's like, what's our real?
I was yelling about murder hornets this weekend. People were talking about murder hornets, and I was like, no, this is bullshit. I am not going to entertain any other psyops until I get my murder hornets. I had a plan. I was going to train them to do my bidding. I want
guard
the murder
my chickens,
hornets.
Raise my children. And you know what? In the 70s, I believe it was Killer Bees. And John Belushi did an amazing, funny skit on the Killer Bees because they've always been using this kind of weird shit upon us. And the Killer Bees never came. But they had to ramp it up. Now it's murder. Murder hornets. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Murder hornets.
If we had true comedians, my God, there'd be, you know, Saturday night would be fucking fantastic. But we don't. We don't have true comedians because they've been sequestered to an app that you have to pay for in order to see.
Yeah.
They're like, what is a Rumble? but it's absurd. Seriously, what is this Rumble? I have no idea. It's a seat in an old car. I don't know what Rumble is.
That reminds me of a Jimmy Dore skit. I'll see if I can find it because I'm not sure if I can do it justice. But like somebody who works for him, like an intern or something, did this little skit, and she's like, so I went to go get my nails done, and I wanted and I told the manicurist that I wanted the blue and yellow for Ukraine, because it's just so awful what's going on there. And the manicurist said, well, what about red? I think it's red and black is Yemen, red and yellow or something like that. And she goes, maybe you should get that. If you're really worried about war atrocities, maybe you should get the Yemeni colors on your hand. And she goes, what the fuck? So I told her, what the fuck's a Yemen? You know, just like this, like, Dixie, like,
yeah.
What the fuck's a Yemen?
Exactly.
Let's do a video. 15 minutes until the good news report. We're going to have to do the good news report by ourselves today because Mom's sick. Not feeling well,
no
not sick, really run down. She picked up a Saturday job. And
Jesus.
She's tired.
Yeah, no, she needs to rest. I feel for her. I don't,
So I'm going to post device is ready. Hold on. Are you there? Can you hear me?
You're, I am here, and I was just going to say, you're damn lucky I do this show, because I know, because I'm tired, too. From
no, thank you so much.
Like, I just want to chill and do nothing. But
yeah,
honestly, as soon as I want to start talking to you, I have the best time. So,
oh, yay.
I should actually be excited. It's showtime, but instead I'm like in this vegetative coma of, I'm doing nothing. It's my relaxation time.
Right, yeah. Hold on one sec. I'm going to grab this clip. I'm going to post this I always try to post it, the links of the videos in the chat section of the live. So let me do that now.
Let me turn my tablet. You know, we need to bring back more kids. Everything that they don't want us to have, we need to bring back. They don't want us to have peace of mind, security, to be able to last. They want us to be in this dire state of fear, apprehension, paranoia.
Yeah.
And but not humor. Yeah. So that's why humor was so damn important, because you made fun of it. George Carlin. Okay, here. All of the amazing comedians that would make fun of the establishment are the icons. You had Lenny Bruce. He was dangerous. I believe did they kill him? I think they killed Lenny Bruce because he was so dangerous. Actually. And then came George Carlin. And they didn't kill him till he became dangerous later on. When remember all the things he was talking about right before he died of a heart attack?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was dangerous.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Yes.
There's
a reason.
Okay, let's listen to this video and then we'll do the good news. This is about the this is Jimmy Dore talking about the leaked Pentagon documents
cool.
And his theory. His and Glenn Greenwald's theory. So if you're ready.
I am. 3, 2, 1. Roll film.
3, 2, 1.
I'm sure you've heard about this story, that there's these leaked documents, right? So these leaked documents on the Ukraine war, and it's really embarrassing to the government and blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
It's different, but just as special.
It says how the latest leaked documents are different from the past breaches. The freshness of the document. The freshness. Like, these are fresh. Wow, this is really...
right out of the oven.
Wow, these are fresh. Got a nice crust.
Time to make the documents.
Some appear to be barely 40 days old, and the hints they hold for operations to come make them particularly damaging, officials say. So when I saw this story, it seemed sketchy to me. I didn't think.
Why? Is it because I didn't really get anything from it?
Yeah. Like they just, because my friend Tom Simmons texted me, goes, the leaked documents say everything Jimmy Dore has been saying for the last 8 months. Right.
Right.
And I go, yeah, probably longer. So that's why this isn't. So why is this supposed to be a big deal? It's not a big deal. This is the CIA doing this. This is my theory. So here, this is from the article. It says, when WikiLeaks spilled a huge trove of state. So this is the first paragraph in this article written by this guy, David E. Sanger. Now, if you know anything about David E. Sanger, he's a Pulitzer Prize winner because he gets his stories directly from the CIA. Okay, so that's why he gets to write stories.
He won a prize for listening.
For listening to the CIA. So this story, I'm gonna guess, is how a CIA informant or a CIA man would write this story. And he starts off his story about these leaked documents by saying this about WikiLeaks. He says, when WikiLeaks spilled a huge trove of State Department cables 13 years ago, it gave the world a sense of what American diplomats do each day.
What?
The sharp elbows, the doubts, the doubts about wavering allies, and the glimpses at how Washington was preparing for North Korea's eventual collapse and Iran's nuclear blackout. Oh, yes, that's what it revealed. It revealed diplomacy. I believe it's from the ancient Greek word diplomacy that means sharpened elbows. So that's why Julian Assange is being slowly murdered. He, he carelessly exposed the sharp elbows of democracy. So do you see what they're doing? He's trying to pretend that the WikiLeaks were a nothing burger and that they just revealed what people... Well,
it was a huge trove of nothing.
So Glenn Greenwald caught this, and he'll explain it to you better.
It is unbelievable to describe the WikiLeaks disclosures that way. He's doing it on purpose to make it seem like it was a completely unjustified and banal leak that didn't really tell you anything about the world other than giving you a, quote, sense of what American diplomats do. This is just the business of diplomats. They throw sharp elbows. They have some doubts about wavering allies. And you got some glimpses about how Washington was preparing for North Korea's eventual collapse and Iran's nuclear breakout.
Neither of those
happened.
So they
pick the things that they know you're fine with the State Department doing in order to make this leak sound like it was something that told you nothing important, but at the same time was incredibly dangerous. Now, this eventual collapse of North Korea, I don't think we have that yet. This is 13 years later, so there's no collapse in North Korea. Maybe eventually means 100 years from now. And Iran has not broken out in the sense that it has nuclear weapons. Nobody claims that. But these are things that you would want the government to be doing, and that's why the New York Times purposely described the WikiLeaks releases in this way, to make you think these WikiLeaks releases told you nothing but endangered the public. In reality, the exact opposite was true. They revealed all kinds of secrets about tens of thousands of people, innocent civilians that the United States government, the military had killed in Afghanistan and Iraq. They had revealed a video showing the U.S. government, the U.S. military gunning down innocent people, including journalists who worked for Reuters when they were on the ground and scrambling to try and leave. They revealed widespread and rampant corruption among all kinds of U.S. allies in Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and Jordan and Egypt, and all kinds of lies about a whole range of issues that the U.S. government told the public. But it's bizarre, although not really, that David Sanger, who's an ally of this intelligence services, would start off his article trying to demean WikiLeaks' releases, knowing Julian Assange is in prison. This is the way that a CIA agent who hates Julian Assange would describe those releases, not the way a journalist would. So already you know that he's surveying here an agenda that is the U.S. security state's agenda. That's what he always does, but this is the first clue. Now, here's...
So, okay. So, your first paragraph, you know, okay, there's something nefarious happening here. Everyone's pretending like this is a big leak, and in order to do that, they get this hack from the New York Times, who's a CIA puppet, to downplay what the... So here's the second paragraph. When Edward Snowden swept up the National Security Agency's secrets 3 years later, Americans suddenly discovered the scope of how the digital age had ushered in a remarkable new era of surveillance by the agency, enabling it to pierce China's telecommunications industry and to drill into Google servers overseas to pick up foreign communications.
Also, your communications. Also, all of them.
That's right. So that's the part that hack from the CIA tool of the New York Times leaves out. The actual shit that Edward Snowden revealed is that they were doing illegal spying on Americans. But
I'm glad they had time to do that other spying with all the spying on Americans they
were
doing.
That's right. And why shouldn't we spy on our allies, right? Why should we spy on our own citizens? You want to roll with America, we get to watch you fuck. That's how it goes. That's the price of freedom. Glenn Greenwald, also, who was very instrumental in the Edward Snowden story, he caught this, and here's what he says about it.
The crux of the Snowden reporting showed how the NSA was spying on the conversations of American citizens, the telephone activities of Americans, to the point that courts were able to rule them unconstitutional, as I said earlier. But again, if you work for the NSA, this is what you would want people to think the Snowden reporting was about. He's counting on the fact that it's been 10 years, and people don't remember. So he's just rewriting history. And I will show you that the only people who ever revealed any secrets about how the NSA spies on China is the New York Times itself, not any of the other journalists who actually worked with Edward Snowden. So we'll get to that in a minute. Now, they go on.
So then here's the next paragraph. I think this is the next part. No, maybe it's not. But those are the first two paragraphs of his article. So you know something's nefarious afoot.
Mm-hmm.
So then it says the cache of 100 or so newly leaked briefing slides of operational data on the war in Ukraine is distinctly different, he says. The data revealed so far is less comprehensive than those vast secret archives, but far more timely.
What?
And it is the immediate salience of the intelligence that most worries White House and Pentagon. So he's obviously, this is a propaganda piece 100% from start to finish. So why does this guy who's just a CIA spokesperson, why do they want Americans to think that White House and Pentagon officials are worried about these leaks? Why is that? They're not, because these leaks tell us nothing. They're telling us nothing that everyone already know.
It's the freshness of the stale information that you're not understanding.
So there's one more piece I'll read to you. This is the last piece I'll read from that article. It says, now this is supposed to be the big reveal of the leaked documents. The 100 plus pages of slides and briefing documents leave no doubt about how deeply enmeshed the United States is in the day-to-day conduct of the war, providing the precise intelligence and logistics that help explain Ukraine's success thus far. While President Biden has barred American troops from firing directly on Russian targets and blocked sending weapons that could reach deep into Russian territory, the documents make clear that a year into the invasion, the United States is heavily entangled in almost everything else. What in the F is this supposed to be telling me that I already don't know? Everybody knows this. We send them $110 billion already. We're in deep. We're sending advisors. We've reported that at this show. What are these documents revealing? They're not revealing anything that we don't already know. So I wonder why they're doing this. And there's a couple of things wrong with this leaked document. We don't know who's leaking it.
We're going to get that guy.
Right? We don't know who's leaking it. What? And they didn't leak it to someplace like WikiLeaks or to like a reporter like Glenn Greenwald. They're leaking it out on like, you know, a Discords and 4chan stuff. And,
yeah, right.
And on gaming sites. And it's like, what? Why would they do it that way? So this all sounds like the CIA is doing this on purpose for some reason. I don't know exactly. Because this isn't a reveal, and Glenn has the same conclusion. Here it is.
The Pentagon Papers show that the American government lied to the American people about the war in Vietnam for a decade. The Snowden reporting showed that the U.S. government was spying on its own citizenry in violation of the Constitution and the law. WikiLeaks showed all kinds of hidden war crimes. What do these documents show that are similar to that, that would really be upsetting
Nothing.
And destabilizing to the United States? We keep hearing that they're like those other cases. We keep hearing from the U.S. government about how disturbing this leak is. I haven't really seen anything in these documents yet that would be comparable.
But, Jimmy, if this could leak this quickly, this information that everyone has said for over a year.
This is – I don't understand. This leaked out on purpose is what I'm saying. So this leaked out on purpose.
Well, here's what I thought was weird. Because I thought Zelensky leaked. Remember last week?
Mm-hmm.
I just heard about it. And what was on it was like the, you know, death toll, okay? And they were saying an altered version came out on, you know, those other platforms where Russia switched around the death toll. But our... what we said it was in the Switzerland version is not that high of a death toll. And I was like, that's weird. Either way, that number sounds way lower than what I would have thought it was.
Okay, here's one theory, is that the Americans and Europeans are turning against this war. And so the United States, the CIA, they see this, right? Yeah. And so they leak these documents to show that it's not going well. Right? I mean, because that's what they – I mean, but we've known this. What could be – I don't know. But just – hey, by the way, just to let you know, this is from Jacobin. Jacobin says the Iraq War was a massive redistribution of wealth to the rich and powerful. Well, Well, boy, oh boy, they really, Jacobin, not since the recent 20 years later expose of the Iraq War by Mehdi Hassan have I seen such courage.
Mehdi Hassan's coming down hard on the Iraq War too, by the way, recently.
Oh, is he? Good, I tell you, that's the guy.
He's not afraid.
Do they get... Dude, that's why he's always out in front.
Yeah.
That's why I had Mehdi. Do they give out a Cy Hirsch Award for the best 20 years after the fact reporting? Because I think Jacobin is a contender.
It was a massive redistribution of wealth.
Did Jacobin record the war on TiVo 20 years ago and then not get a chance to watch it or something? Is that what happened? Don't tell me how the war ended. I got it TiVo'd. Is that what happened? So anyway, of course.
The other shoe just dropped with regard to the Iraq war.
So they must be wanting to shift now all into Taiwan and China. They got their $110 billion. They blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. So they got that done. And now we're selling our liquefied natural gas to Europe. They got all that done. So now we move on to China and Taiwan.
Now we get our goddamn microchips back from China.
And yes, that's what this is. And let's remember this. This is United States military bases around the world. There's a this website is called... World Beyond War. No matter which way you turn the globe, there's just a shit ton of American military bases. Look at even Australia in the middle of nowhere, more in the middle of nowhere.
Once again, if you're just tuning in, this is not a sex offender registry.
This is American
bases around the world.
American military. Look at all the ones inside. Look at all these. Look at all the... Whoa. As it's surrounding Russia and China. Look at this in Africa. Look at this.
Which ones are peaceful bio research labs? Is that listed?
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
You know nothing in Sri Lanka? What's going on?
No kidding. Go to JimmyDore.com to see my new stand-up special, COVID Lies Are Funny. For only $10, you get to become a premium member, too. And come see us do our live shows. We're going to be doing stand-up comedy in Milwaukee, Nashville, Honolulu, Los Angeles, Northampton, Massachusetts, Syracuse, New York, Cohoes, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Baltimore, Maryland, and more. Go to JimmyDore.com for a link for all those tickets.
All right. Well, so I think that he holds his beliefs, theories are all along the same line as yours, Elizabeth, that this was, it was too fast. It came out too fast. They had, that Facebook that only had like four pictures on it, right? So I think you're right about that. And I guess so does Jimmy Dore. Let me just really quickly play, because I butchered that, what the fuck is a Yemen thing? So I'm going to play, it's only 2 minutes. So let me just play that real quick, okay? Hello, are you there? Okay, well, Dan, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Now, this video, we've featured the work of this woman here before, and she's got a new video out called Virtue Signaling in Style. So let's check it out.
So I painted my nails blue and yellow in support of Ukraine, and the manicurist is like, why not paint your nails red, black, and white in support of Yemen? And I'm like, what the fuck is a Yemen? And she goes, Yemen is a country in the Middle East experiencing a horrific war and the world's worst humanitarian crisis, led by Saudi Arabia and backed by the United States. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like those colors.
I want to watch it again.
So I painted my nails blue and yellow.
Here we go. Ready?
So I painted my nails blue and yellow in support of Ukraine. And the manicurist is like, why not paint your nails red, black, and white in support of Yemen? And I'm like, what the fuck is a Yemen? And she goes, Yemen is a country in the Middle East experiencing a horrific war and the world's worst humanitarian crisis, led by Saudi Arabia and backed by the United States. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like those colors.
Very nice. Very nice. That's our very own Lisa.
Okay. All right. So, are you there? Hello.
I am, but I need an assistant to do my technical.
Were you muted?
I thought I was unmuted. I'm like, oh no, that means green means go. No. No, it doesn't. When it's green, I'm muted. That's why it didn't work. I'm like, everything's back-assward. Nothing is as it should be. That's why I don't know. I think they want the old people to have strokes and die faster so that they can just, you know, mesmerize you guys with bullshit and take over the whole world. But green used to be gone.
Anyway, that's so what I then I was but, like, what the fuck's a Yemen?
I know. And it's so Kardashian. The Kardashians. Oh, God. Yeah, they have gotten, you know, you can tell when the big corporations are running the world because this Ukraine thing, the advertising for it just was everywhere. It's on more trucks, and it came out of nowhere. We stand for the Ukraine. Beautiful logos on the back of their trucks with the damn flag. And it's like, of course you do.
Yeah.
I want to make T-shirts that have the, you know, what does the Russian flag look like? I want to do something strong like bull. I stand with Russia. You know, we stand
right.
for peace. The line in the sand is don't poke the bear, baby. We have standards.
Yeah.
You play over there. This is not your sandbox. They don't even know what this war is really about, nor do
they
want to question it. It's a sports mentality. My team. These are my
it's
covers.
My team, exactly.
Yeah. And it's funny that they when she's like, "Oh, I don't like those colors."
I don't like those colors. You know that was a satire, right? You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's so Chloe and Kim and I don't want the salad. God, it's ruined my life.
And here's an interesting point. I'm not sure if I've actually made this on the show. I might have, but it's worth mentioning again. Is that we've got the highest gas prices ever now. And you know, my local gas station, the cheapest gas around, it's a cash price. You go in and they're selling We Love Ukraine bumper stickers. That, you know, you can pay a dollar and there's a punching bag outside with Putin's face on it. Punch Putin for a dollar, no free hit. All of these things. And it's like,
that's bad.
We are paying the highest gas prices ever. And these idiots are giving more money to the gas stations for these stickers and for these punch Putin in the face. What the are they really like? Are they real? Like,
you know
the
why?
Stupidity, the mentality is so like overwhelmingly dumb.
It is the lost generation is what they are, because it's like as if they're at the fucking carnival, you know, punch him in the, you know, life is not. They are so lost. They have no direction, no beliefs, no convictions. Whatever is put out there for them to follow and obey, listen and obey. That's why I said it was like their fucking sports team. It's like they have lost. If they didn't have their sports, and it was interesting when they took away sports during the lockdown, how did these people function? I didn't actually wasn't able to be around them. Apparently they were in this, you know, comatose
alcohol and
syndrome. Yeah, probably. But, you know, that was their only thing to connect with each other over were these sports. And the way they did this was the COVID, the colors. And I thought this was brilliant when someone pointed it out. The same colors that they used with this COVID bullshit was blue and yellow. Blue and yellow. They hit us with this constant, nonstop. 6 feet, wash your hands, da-da-da-da-da. All blue and yellow. And then as soon as that's over, boom, we're mesmerized by the blue and the yellow flag. Got to support Ukraine. They've already done this incredible MK Ultra brainwashed bullshit with the colors. It's almost the Manchurian candidate. But did you see the movie with Angela Lansbury and Frank Sinatra? Brilliant movie. Manchurian candidate, as soon as the Queen of Hearts showed up, he was in a trance, and he would do whatever the handler would say. And it's like, and it came through psychological manipulation. That's exactly what this fucking flag all over the place is. And then the fact that it's corporate-backed. And then here's our lost. We have nothing. It's like we don't have anything good in our lives to fall back upon. They've taken everything away. They wanted to demonize the religion and, like, all these little things that kids used to do with the clubs and things. There isn't anything for them, really. And they will latch upon whatever anyone puts out there for them, whether it be the transgender. And look, notice what they are giving kids. They're not giving them, you know, a box of crayons and a fucking coloring book to go color anymore. They're giving them weird shit. And it's like they just want to belong and be accepted. And it's almost like they're like fucking zombies walking towards, you know. Did you have people who live at the gas station? It's like the only place they go because they get their Slurpees and their shitty bags of chips and lottery tickets and stuff. It's like a culture.
Yeah.
And that's almost what it is. And then, of course, then there's your conditioning. Punch Putin. That's the worst one I've seen. And I'm surprised I don't see anything like that around here because it was almost going to get like that. They had kids with bumpers, cartoons that they put on these cars. And I knew that was like had to be state funded because the graphics were too nice for just some kid to have these. And it was,
yeah,
fuck Putin. I'm like, oh my God, what? You know, can't we all get along here a little bit? Mm-mm. Fuck Putin.
Exactly. Yeah, and you just, added, 35 cents per gallon, and, because they buy those at the gas stations. It's such a racket. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit and do – Mom's not here for the good news report, but let's talk about a little bit of good news. Do you have any good news for this week?
Well, the fact that I tell you what, seeing Lee Camp, that was good news for me. Seeing
that was good news, yeah.
People are seeing through the PSYOP a little bit and be able to, you know, because it's almost as if I'm in the land of they don't see what's going on and they're only living by the seats of their, whatever their convictions, whatever the NPR will tell them. That's what reality is like. At the moment, I don't, because it seems to have gone from everything so intense with the vax, the images, the lawsuits, taking our guns. I mean, honestly, murder hornets would be a blessing right now. Because I'm going on vacation compared to everything that the reality is. So where I went through my little news thing, because I get the news from Wyoming, because someday I'd like to go there. And then I'm like, well, maybe not, because Wyoming's under attack the same way that Tennessee is under attack, the same way that, you know, Florida's going to be under attack, because we can't have anything different than what we say. People cannot be different than us. You have to have hormone replacements for your children. You have to kill your babies. You got to give your guns away and burn that Constitution. That's what they want. And so they're coming and doing that in Wyoming, too. And I'm like, you can't run away from it. So you got to stand your ground and kind of work within your society where you're at, or we're not going to have a society kind of thing. But so I do this every week through the Wyoming, whatever it is, Gazette. It was all fluff today. It was all kind of feel good. They got a lot of snow. And I found that kind of odd that there wasn't a slew of killings and drug arrests and this, that, and they even have riots out there. And I'm like, oh my God. I didn't see anything good, but I noticed they wanted to levitate the situation. I'm like, this is how it used to be. It's kind of like we're taking a breather from the PSYOP. Here's some fun stuff, some fun stories.
Yeah.
And I was almost insulted because I'm like, I know there are things going on. Something is going on somewhere. You just don't want to talk about it. So I don't. Off the bat, I don't. And I apologize.
No, it's fine. Mom's usually here for the good news, you know? We're just kind of filling in.
She didn't give you the secret stash.
She did. She did. Mark Elias is out of the DNC, I think.
Here. We miraculously, at the snap of our fingers, the twinkling of the eye, we've got the DNC coming here to Chicago, which is going to be...
Oh, my God. That is going to be the biggest shit show.
Oh, my God. Worse. Worse than, you know what they're doing for the 4th of July? They're having NASCAR. They shut down all of Chicago to have a NASCAR race, which after they do that, infuriate the entire world of Chicago over something stupid like that. They're going to try to have the Chicago Fest, Taste of Chicago, which used to be big and fun. That's going to be a nightmare of the protests and shootings and whatnot. I just thought, wow, apparently maybe somebody has stock in plywood, and they're like, we can make a killing because everybody's going to have to board up everything to have the DNC come back. Seriously.
That's going to be
nuts. It's not even safe for a fucking Smashing Pumpkins concert or a Bulls game. If the Bulls still play, I don't know if they play or not. But it's not safe there, and I'm like, wow. So who's running for you got Bobby Kennedy, which I'm very pumped. I don't see him being nominated. He's anti-establishment. He's anti-corporation. Monsanto might, want him arrested for disinformation. Pfizer probably after him. Fauci. He's out to expose the big corporations. And I think his plan.
Bernie Sanders was supposed to do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you think, I see that Bobby, he put out his letter and said why he's doing it, so that he has a platform to bring everything to attention to the people, because he's been sequestered to his basement and he's deplatformed. And that might be the only reason he's throwing his hat in to do this, is so that he might be able to get a little bit of airtime and have some of this brought to light. I wonder if they'll even dare do that. And you know what's going to be? There's going to be the backdrop of riots. Riots and riots and riots. Because the mayor of Chicago went to a protest for a strike at a car. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of leadership we're going to have in Chicago now, the new mayor. And I'm like, wow, it's just going to be, the DNC is going to be, it's going to be a war zone. I recommend all the candidates take a pass. But
I agree. I don't think that there's any way that they're going to let him do it. And even buying into the two-party system, he should know better. Jimmy Dore had him on not too long ago. He did it. And Jimmy Dore actually asked the real questions, was like, you don't really think that you're going to be able to change the DNC, right? You don't think, because here's the thing, one or two things is going to happen. He's either going to be silenced and ridiculed and canceled by the left, which he already has been, or he's going to win and he's going to be silenced. He's going to be controlled opposite, he's going to be controlled by the DNC. He won't be able to do anything. The DNC will be against him. I don't see this ending well for him. Now, if he wants to come over to the Emerald Party, what?
Do you see him actually rolling over? Do you think Sanders rolled over?
Yeah, of course he did. Mm-hmm. I do. And I have a theory as to why. And I think that Kennedy is in the same boat. He's able to say things, through his grassroots stuff. But I think they've got dirt on him. I think they've got dirt on him. And I think that I've been told that they've got dirt on Bernie Sanders. And so I think that's what's going on, is that even if he did win, he would be controlled. And because of things that he's done in the past or was forced to do in the past. And I think Bernie Sanders was forced to do things in the past, if you believe, victims, survivors.
Right.
So, and I was told, so this is something that people may not believe. Some people don't believe. I do. I was told by a survivor that, that she was...
Don't go there. Don't go there. I don't think so. They're probably another day.
Okay.
Because we've had this conversation before, but let's kind of not go there. And we'll go instead into just how decrepit and horrible these people are, because that's where you were going, is, you know, they've been using people for gain and the bribery forever. Ross Perot owned the company that had the workers that were the hostages from the Iran hostage crisis that lost Jimmy Carter his election and bought Ronald Reagan his. And then Perot comes in and dabbles with another election, split the vote for Clinton and Bush. Everybody's bought and paid for. And if you're playing, if you're dancing on the stage, you are either paid to do this or they do. They have something way over your head. If you don't do this, this is what happens. It's all orchestrated, and none of it is it's not, there's no such thing as a fair game, and they call it dirty politics for a fucking reason. It's like, that's why it's like, you know, Bobby has such true ethics. He's a man of ethics. Why would he get into this den of fucking vipers? That's my thoughts. Does he know he's not going to make it? Or does he just want to get this out? Does he just want to have a platform knowing that he's not ever going to get anywhere and doesn't want to be anywhere because he sees how fucking corrupt? And people that would do what they did to Bernie Sanders and to Gary Hart and to all of them, you know, all of them, the honeypot situation has always been how they control their political opponents.
Yeah,
you know?
And by honeypot, it's even worse than just, you know, having sex with a prostitute. You know, it's raping children,
yeah.
Really, like if you want to get down to it.
Compromising situations, yeah, it's horrible. And whether or not it's something that you would do or you were forced to do with a gun to your head, you know, so to speak.
Yes,
but that's
exactly.
That's what they call it, dirty politics. It's disgusting. Yeah. So it does beg to question, why would Bobby Kennedy even want to do this?
My first thought is his, uncle that, or great uncle that got, you know, that got drunk with a prostitute in his car
Teddy.
And ran it off.
Teddy?
Yeah.
No,
ran it off the road.
It was his girlfriend, for God's sake. He left his girlfriend to die in a car wreck in a lake and swam away because he was afraid and was like, that was his character. Chappaquiddick was the thing. And it's kind of like, I think Mary Ann Kopichka. Yeah, it was not a prostitute. He was a cowardly young man that was only thinking of his own. So, and I'm really surprised, you know, knowing all the fact that he left somebody to drown in a car accident, saying he was drunk and didn't know. No, he swam home as fast as possible. How can we cover this up? Oh, my gosh, she's already dead. Why didn't you fucking save her? Oh, we can't talk about that. That's your lack of character right there.
Right.
And he became such a fucking icon, Teddy Kennedy. I mean, really.
Yeah.
And it was like all they left it. It was Chappaquiddick. That's all I say. One word, Chappaquiddick. Oh, you left the girl to die in the car after you swam away okay. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, that got swept away. I think more of that.
So that's that's in his history. That's in his family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really don't know why he's doing what he's doing. He was actually gaining popularity during COVID, although they did try to silence him. But,
and they did.
You know, I don't know. I've been to places, you know, events where he's spoken, and it's sold out crowds. There's, you know, standing room only.
People love
so,
him.
Yes.
They love him. And the thing is, you don't know it because those videos get taken down. He does street, you know, in the middle of New York street, thousands of people coming out. And New York was like the most oppressed lockdown state. when there they are talking, that never made the light of day, and it only would be choppy, and then you never see it again. They edited all his videos. It was like, yeah. I even did a video once saying, I just witnessed the assassination of Bobby Kennedy on Facebook. They silenced him. It's like there was absolutely no respect. In fact, the man was speaking on the steps of the Capitol. Facebook was like, fuck you. We'll make you look like a fool. Nobody can hear anything you say. So, yeah, yep. They definitely silenced him. Was his only – his reason was, I simply want to have a chance to speak publicly. Not so much that he thinks he's going to even have a chance to run. But I thought, aside from politics, if we can elevate the conversation and have a focus off of the weather balloons and the Chinese balloons and ridiculous
right.
They want you to be focused upon, and focus upon the atrocities of Pfizer, as it's brought to you by Pfizer, that would be a wonderful trick to play upon the DNC.
I'm sure they'll make rules, right? If he does end up on a debate stage or something like that, I'm sure the DNC will make rules saying that, you know, medical misinformation and disinformation will not be tolerated on this stage. They'll come up with a reason not to, or to silence him, you know, and only make him talk about these, you know, pre-prescribed talking points, right? That he won't be able to say anything about Fauci.
But won't that make us look ever so much like North Korea and China? I mean, honestly, I think that might be the best thing for them to do. Because then the conversation can be, why are we being silenced? Why can we not speak of things? You know?
Right. It's like, and again, to the point of, you know, okay, so the answer to wrong speech is more speech, right? But that's not how our society works. It's like, you know, we censor words. You're not allowed to say certain words. You know, you're not allowed to have a debate about anything, abortion, anything. They just want you, COVID, a novel virus. They want you to say, that's their solution, is that you say nothing. And that should never, ever be the solution. More speech. It's not less speech. More speech is how we get, you know, to the bottom of wrong speech, right?
There is no wrong speech. There is no I'm not going to chastise you because it's not you, Danielle, because you were born in 1983. But in 1980 is when these fucking parasites came into the school system and took away everything children needed, which was art, music, language.
Yes.
And anything fun was removed from the schools.
Anything creative.
That was 43 years ago, okay?
Yeah, and you can mind
but
you
used
right.
to have debate and ethics in debate club. But it took 43 years, two generations of raising people to where now we accept this condition of disinformation in the censoring, in the book burning, in the cancel culture. But that in the 1980s was the dawn of the birth of political correctness. And
Did you hear that AOC is saying that Matt Taibbi needs to be canceled because, you know, he was given information by Twitter to present to the public. Now she's saying that he needs to be canceled because, you know, he's saying that, you know, these things that I don't agree with. She's a little
The Instagram video of her giving head to her boyfriend, somebody put that out right when she got into office. It was like, certainly looks like her. She's just giving him, and I'm just like, well, then, you know, certainly she doesn't have much room to talk about anything once, because I saw it once already a long time ago, and like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
She, you know, and Hunter and his foot rub fetish.
Ooh, I saw that. Like, those were tiny feet.
Yeah, those were disgusting. And those should be like the classified documents that they'd be afraid of. No, the weather balloons is what they were afraid of. Crazy town on there.
Right, whether there's a trans person on a Bud Light can.
Anybody can be canceled. Wow. They used to call that blackmail. Are they blackmailable? Yes, they are. Are they compromised? Can people say things to make them look bad? Nobody cares about looking bad anymore. You can look as bad as you want. Matter of fact, that's the ideal goal is to be as fucking deranged and mentally ill looking as possible. And, you know, be, you have to accept me for everything. Blue hair, brown hair, you know, ripped, shredded, dirty yoga pants, sweatpants. I am a woman. It's like, wow, you need to go and clean up before you come in society. No, it's not. We don't do that anymore. You're being mean. You're judging. Can't do that. But you can cancel somebody. Wow, that sounds ever so Iron Curtain, North Korea. You know, I don't think people think and know that North Korea was, is, and could be. It might be Disneyland now, but it used to be a very oppressive, horrible place. It used to kind of be like Russia in the gulag.
Well,
and,
I mean, are we sure? I don't really even believe that, to be honest.
We don't know.
Are
we living? Is it? Because I said nothing in 1980, because I was out with my friends smoking pot and listening to music and building fires in the fields and looking at the stars and talking as people should do and enjoying their environment. We didn't have phones and attached to our hips. They were attached to the fucking wall with a cord. We never talked on them because we would walk out the door and immediately after a little bit you'd run into somebody and you'd be, oh, word of mouth, we'd find out something cool going on over here today or let's go do this. And while we were doing that, we allowed this to happen because they took out the art, the gym, the creativity, and started telling people how you should talk. You cannot say this. It's politically incorrect. And instead of being aware and being like on board or, you know, we were gone. It's our fault that this happened because we should have stepped up as it happened and said, fuck this. This is crazy. You're crazy. Make me. We say all the time, make me. What are you going to do? You're going to make me? Because you can't. That shit came out of our mouth every fucking day. Our principals hated us. Our parents were going to – we were the most defiant. I don't know, maybe. But we allow this. And now we're still kind of now – we allow it. We have to stop pretending that this is okay or that this is even what's the next thing? You've been zapped. We're going to have to zap you. We're going to have to incinerate you with a death ray. That's what it sounds like.
And then you've got things like, you know, like I really do like have to say that you know, the previous generations, like look at Rage Against the Machine, Raging for the Machine now. You know what I mean? Like what happened to Raging Against the Machine? Like now they're just like, you can't come to our concert unless you're vaccinated, you know, and still trying say that they're raging against the machine.
Well, I'm going to say because they didn't have debate in school. I know our debate was the hallways, you know. We debated in the hallways with teachers about who went and where. And, get your ass back in here. You're going to class. Well, no, we're going out to the – catch us. We're out. We're already gone. We're across the fucking parking lot, and we're already getting high in the quarry. Too late. You didn't catch us. That was our debate. But by the time – there was no, you didn't have civics and ethics, right? Social studies.
Yeah. We didn't do ethics. We did civics, though.
What do they have now? Now they have questions about gender.
We had government and economics.
Oh, well, there you go. And, you know, now they're coming out with their marching papers on how to be a little anarchist in the street. It's a little easier now because now it's my body, my choice is what they're doing right now. They're chanting.
It's my body, my choice, asterisk, some people's bodies are, you know, that's their they can control.
But
when it comes to vaccines,
you
can kill your babies.
No. you're a threat to everyone. We need to silence you. That's medical disinformation. My body, my choice. It's like black. They don't even see
yeah.
it.
That only applies to abortion and some rape, mm-hmm. you know, like depending on who it is. If Bill Clinton rapes somebody, mm-hmm. then it's okay. Then it's not
exactly.
your body and it's not your choice. But, you know, if exactly. Trump does it, then it's, you know, me too,
pussy.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't call someone a pussy, nor can you grab their pussy. You can prick your finger, but you can't finger your finger.
Right.
That
exactly.
is, you know, famous George Carlin there. But these wind-up dolls that come out of the school, that's what they're teaching them. They're teaching them how to articulate, enunciate, and scream whatever slogan of the day is.
Yeah.
There is no more debate.
Platitude.
Exactly. Exactly. And I really, I highly recommend just looking at them. And I'm so sorry. No. We don't stop. If you're going to walk in front of a moving vehicle, you're going to get hit. The more you realize actions, consequences, you're not here to live in some weird plasma-like game board. This is reality. Consequences to your actions. And just scream at the top of your lungs is not going to change anything. It's like this adult-like temper tantrum. And without and this thing, this term of, I think this should be canceled. That's like mom saying, you need a timeout. Do they even do those anymore? But it's like that cold stare, three-word, justice will be served. You'll be canceled. I still haven't watched. I got to watch the fucking Hunger Games. Because I'm going to start.
Oh, I just watched it not too long ago.
But I got to watch it.
It was a really amazing documentary.
Yeah, so was Mad Max. Tina Turner.
Oh, and Idiocracy.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay, so I do have some attention. I do have some good news in the good news hour.
Oh, cool.
It's almost official. But my husband got a new job, and he is, he got a start date, but he is the new, we call it harbor master, but I think it's something else, like the official title, but the harbor master for Oceanside. It's a government, it's a city job. It pays, it's
really?
A game changer for us as far as salary and benefits and still technically it's still contingent upon his FBI check coming back clean, which, you know, unless he's a terrorist that I didn't know about, it will come back clean. But yeah, my husband got an amazing new job, and you know, this weekend we were celebrating. It was my birthday, but like a bunch of his friends
what
came camping. What's that?
Oh, that's so cool. I saw your alter ego was getting birthday wishes, and I was like, is that her birthday? I didn't think it was. I thought it was just a typo on your alternate account. But happy birthday.
Oh, on the Ravage account?
Yeah, the Ravage. Yes, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, that's me.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now tell me, what does that entail, being a harbor master? I thought it was
Babe, do you want to come in and talk about what your new job entails? Are you still busy? Give me just for a second.
Well, yeah, I'm busy
okay.
doing
yeah, but,
uncamping stuff. But,
we're uncamping right now. Decamping.
Hello, yeah, decamping.
This is my husband, Joe.
Hello, how's it going today?
Hey, Joe, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, so it's a big move for me because it's just a big job compared to what I have. Pardon me. So currently I manage a marina, and I obtained a position called the Harbor Division Manager for the City of Oceanside. And so instead of just managing a marina, I have to kind of oversee the marina as well as other leaseholds like on buildings and stuff like that. And so basically I'm in charge of the operations of the whole harbor. They have 960 slips. Yeah, I currently manage 220.
And the pier too, right?
The pier, all the infrastructure in the harbor. And so I'll be involved in like in construction projects and keeping up and maintaining those assets of the city.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's good to have people in important positions. Because
yeah.
You'll be
he's one of those unelected bureaucrats that we hate, but we're going to love him because he's going to do good things.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of you out there. So I
think
God is working in mysterious ways because there's always somebody good coming to fill these shoes. And I'm like, okay, this is our new angel. And you're going to be protector of the ocean, right? The pier? The bay?
The pier, the harbor, around the harbor.
Yeah. So, I'm really looking forward to it and looking forward to getting started and working for Oceanside.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So that's the best news. Okay, he's going to go decampify now. Yeah, bye. Bye, Joe. But anyway, yeah, and so it's a huge thing for us. And it's funny, it's like my husband calls me a time traveler sometimes because, like, I just seem to get things right, you know? Like, things are, this is going to happen. No way that's going to happen. Oh, my God, that happened. I've been saying pretty much since we started dating that he was going to be the harbor master of Oceanside. I just knew it.
Really?
And, yeah, I just knew it.
Manifestation.
Yeah.
It's manifesting good things.
Yeah.
And I think that works. It does.
Yeah.
And I really, yes. Good for you for putting it out there, you know?
Yes. And he's always had very good jobs, you know, but this is the job. This is, I think he's going to retire from this job. We think he's going to retire from this job. And yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting.
We're going to have to not fit that subversive talk show host profile very well.
Well, you may have noticed that you could not share the link to the show today, and that was because I had to put my stuff on private. It says on Facebook that I'm married. It doesn't say to who anymore, you know, because
that's good.
Honestly, like, my biggest fear would be that some woke asshole in the city of Oceanside comes along and sees my profile and thinks that I have my opinions and take it out on Joe. That's my biggest fear. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's my biggest fear, that something like that would happen.
We were just talking, this is the reality we live in, how dystopianly fucking diabolical you are. You will be eliminated. Because we don't like what you say. It's
because
reality.
Here's the thing. Like, he was told.
I keep everything locked up. I mean, really, I found out how many weirdos there are out there on the internet, and it scared me to death. I came from one live feed off of someone that we know from Australia, and somebody rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, who is this weirdo? And I just kind of looked, and I'm like, this is some gangster gangbanger from Africa or Cuba they're using, pretty much everybody following her was some weird, very disturbed gangster looking a gangbanging terrorist. I was like, well, these are some scary people. And I'm like, I started blocking people. And I'm like, I blocked many, many, many just off of that feed. And I'm like, it's a strange rule. I'm like, you know what? We're not going public anymore. And we're going only friends of friends. And then I started looking at my friends. I'm like, who are you really? And,
yeah, but as a public speaker, that's really hard to do.
It is, but I've really, my account's kind of locked down a lot, and a lot more so now after this COVID thing, just from the parent groups being, you know, trying to work for having a nice day without a mask. There's some psychotic people out there. I had some go into my, because apparently you can see my, because I used to call them my ridiculous videos that I get on, and I'd talk about whatever I thought about, kind of like what we do now. And
yeah.
She went through and had to watch all of my video in order to find the worst possible movement that I made in my face and lighting a cigarette to where I looked so fat in my jaw. I was like, wow. And it just caught me in mid movement and took a picture of me and put me into the parents group and said, oh, this is Elizabeth Huss. You got to take health advice from her? And I was like, oh, you fucking cunt. Where did you get that? That's not a picture. That's a scary fucking weird. You had to like really maneuver your computer to get that shot and make a screenshot of my stupid video. And
yeah.
I was like, you are a disturbed fucking dangerous fucking individual.
Yeah.
And if I,
okay. Don't talk to me when somebody says like does a whole live stream, because I talk about pedo-gate, this woman was like, I hope that somebody rapes you in the ear, sticks a dick in your ear. Like just this whole
somebody
rant.
That? That's the,
oh
that's
yeah. Did a whole live stream about it. Just because I was talking about pedo-gate.
Wait. Somebody did a live stream. You said about this. About you?
About me. A whole live stream about me because I talked about pedo-gate back in the day and people were sending me this live stream.
Oh my God.
You know, saying, yeah, I just hope that, you know, somebody rapes you, takes a dick and sticks it in your ear. I hope just like the craziest shit, you know, like you never really know. You're
yeah.
right. You never really know who's out on the internet. But, and especially because Joe's new position is, they said,
yeah.
to expect press to be like outside your office on day one, you know, like,
wow.
So yeah, it's a big deal, you know? And so, and of course I think I have to clarify, I don't think that there's some asshole in the city of Oceanside that's going to look at my stuff, but that's a fear of mine, you know, somebody who's, maybe I shouldn't say asshole, somebody who's really just not happy with their life and wants to make other people's lives miserable. I guess that's a better way of saying it. But, like, the internet's a big place.
You potty mouth. Joe's wife's a potty mouth. I'm cheating.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
We need more.
Yeah,
we
like,
need more.
He, like, he was like, that's name calling. Don't say that they're an asshole. And I was like, I'm not even talking about a specific person. Anyway, but you know what I mean.
We'll throw a fundraiser for all assholes, big and small, because you deserve every opportunity everyone has. It's America,
exactly.
For God's sakes. We welcome all assholes, all shapes and colors.
Yeah.
Can't you tell?
Exactly. So that's our big news of the week, of the year, of the of the decade. And it was, and there was a lot of competition too. And so, and they even, and the city of Oceanside, you know, I don't know about this, but there have, you know, people talk online about how the city of Oceanside has like a nepotism problem where they, you know, even if somebody's
oh, really?
More qualified, they might hire somebody else. And in this job in particular, they changed the criteria for the position.
Oh.
It said that it had to have a degree beforehand, and
uh-huh.
you know they changed it because they think that they thought that somebody in the city, you know, who could have it but didn't have could get the job and get the job done, but didn't have a degree. So they actually changed the criteria because they thought they were going to hire somebody else, but then Joe put in his resume and he was the most qualified candidate, and it seems like by far. So I'm really proud of him. He's, you know, it's.
Well, that's how we need to get back to who's really qualified for the job.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very important.
Yeah. It shouldn't matter your skin color or your gender.
Or yeah, exactly. Who do you know and where, what's, you know, because you end up, you get stuck in mediocrity. If it's kind of like if the system is kind of, we're not really happy with it. Not that it's broken, but it's like, can we do better?
Yeah.
You never do better unless you go up out of the, for lack of a better word, the gene pool that you've got. You branch out into different folks. And I want to say that hats off to, I think that might be a new thing that we're doing out of desperation. Because number one, you can't find people that want to work anymore in any field. I don't know. That seems to be maybe that is the key, is why they're kind of opening the door to you. We would like you to have a bachelor's and a master's, but if you're working towards it, because that was one of the things we had somebody fill a big position, and it was kind of the, well, you know, they don't have this, but they, you know, have 30 years experience, and they're going to school for their degree that we require. Passing over someone who had the degree but didn't have the experience and is very pissed off. But they're in, and it was almost a huge explanation email as to why they picked this person. And I'm like, what stood out was 30 years experience. They know what the fuck they're doing. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will take them with open arms. But it 3 years ago, oh, my God, if you didn't have all those letters in the back of that degree, you can't even apply. So I think that this is – it's a good thing because we can get good people. And Joe, I think, is going to be a good person. So yay for San Diego. Congratulations. San Diego, right?
Mm-hmm. Oceanside.
Or Oceanside. I don't even know.
Well, it's in San Diego County.
This Oceanside, as you speak of, but in California-ish, Italy, I don't think you should really give
it's North San Diego County. It's right above the farm, actually.
Cool. It's cool.
One city north.
I have no idea. I got to know middle, top, or bottom of the state. I'm looking at it straight on, but no, that's okay. That's fantastic. Fantastic.
Woot, woot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
we've got a caller. I think this is Lily. Let's see. Hold on.
Good. I invited two people to come on to talk.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yes. We're good. We've got about 8 minutes left in the good news report. So if you've got any, let us have it.
Well, the human resonance is still spiking super high, and we have had the plasma sun, which is prophetic. You know, it comes just before the sun turns blue and finishes purifying this place. So I have been, like, super stoked about that.
Oh, yeah. And when did it start? When does it end?
I don't know when it ends, but it just started, like, within the last week. The Schumann resonance has been really high for, like, the last few years. But lately, it's been so high that it actually, like, broke the machine that they used to measure it with because it spiked so high, and they had to recalibrate everything, which is great. That means that the frequency of this realm is becoming higher, you know, and it's kind of one of the ways in prophecy that they purify it out, because anything that's not existing at a high enough frequency just can't survive here, you know, because it doesn't match, you know, it's too opposite. And so it's one of the ways to purify, like, the density out. And it's a big theory is that is what will assist us with, like, the negative IA AI, because it is at such a low frequency, but that's what makes us sick and affects our bodies negatively. But as the earth vibrates higher, then the AI is kind of canceled out in a lot of ways, you know, like the cell towers and things, because they cannot function properly, which is really good for 5G because regular cell towers aren't good. But like the EMP that 5G puts out is such a dense, low frequency that's what's making a lot of people really sick with, like, the radiation poisoning.
Interesting.
And
well, I can tell
plasma,
you, I'm having,
you know, like, that's great.
So I feel it too, for sure.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And so that's the kind of stuff that, like, I have been trying to focus on. I have felt a little, like, more discouraged than normal recently. And so I've been, like, having myself focus on, well, look at the plasma sun that's happening more and more now, and there's great pictures of it. Like, when you see that kind of, like, sphere of blue around the sun, you know, like, they'll have pictures where the sun is its own perfect circle, and then there's another perfect circle around it. That's the plasma that is becoming so strong that we're able to visibly pick it up now.
Wonderful. Yeah, we were just talking about my husband's new job, which is, like, a game-changing, life-changing job for our family. You know, and of course my birthday, you know, because everybody likes to celebrate that. And then just
yes. Congratulations on happy birthday, by the way. I love you so much and you're such a gift and I'm so grateful that you were born.
Oh, I love you too. Yeah. Things are just good right now. Like, and staying good and getting better even. Like we, yeah, just lots of stuff. Financially, things are turning around a little bit. I don't want to go too much into this, but even I've had a terrible, terrible relationship with my children's dad, you know, maybe like 8-9 years. And just, God, on Friday, Friday, he apologized for something. And he never apologized.
Wow.
Yeah, and he apologized and he said, I want to stop fighting. And I'm like, well, we're not fighting. We're just here raising your children and doing a good job. But, you know, but him saying he wants to stop fighting is like, you know, it's a really, really big deal in my life. Yeah.
Wow.
What's that? What'd you say?
As a newsflash, hell just froze over along with
basically.
End of the world. That's fantastic. That's pretty cool.
I am so happy for you. And I do think that as the frequency of Earth in general becomes higher, you know, like people are being forced to raise their frequencies and like be better people or, you know, like go do something else, you know, like because it's kind of like either or at this point, you know, and I think it's wonderful because it's forcing humanity to behave better, you know, and be a little more accountable whether we want to or not, you know, like it's kind of like sink or swim in that way at this point.
You know,
totally.
I think so. I think you're right because it is almost as if you cannot be an asshole when someone on the other side of the room is smiling, saying something that makes a lot of sense. And you're like, oh, yeah. And then you've got 3, 4, 5 people in agreement, having a good time, instead of this ocean of negativity and bad vibes, which is what you usually have when you're at work. And I'm seeing that out in traffic, too. I got, like, this guy scared the shit out of me, was going to pull in front of me, because people, I think we had conversation about how poorly people are driving since they've been vaccinated, since they've come out of the lockdown. It's like, what has happened to these people? And so I thought, I'm getting T-boned, and I'm looking at this. I'm like, don't you fucking, what is wrong with you? And they've got all the tinted windows, and I'm like, oh, my God. He made a point of chasing me down, I thought, to kill me. But he wanted to let me know. Seriously. And I'm like, oh, my God. And he goes, hey, I'm not like that. I just want you to know that I'm not like that. I'm like, here I am, pissed off old white woman in my We the People hat, and here's this really nice black guy who's like really way up there vibrationally, and I'm like, you know what, thank you. I go, I'm sorry, I was mean and evil too. I mean, I was like really fucking like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And he's like, he didn't mean to, and he's not. It was like, this is a different, I'm almost living in a different world sometimes. So
yes.
I do believe that you are correct.
A higher world.
People are rising to the occasion. It's almost as if, here's that little spark that's inside you. There's a magnet way somewhere. Let's just say theoretically it's the sun that is like, you know, bursting with, you know, depending on what camp you're in, it's like, it's the end of the world, the sun's going to blow. But it's got so much energy. It is pulling us like little specks of metal to it, you know, like the rapture.
Elizabeth, and it has to. It actually is what alters the vibration for us is the sun, you know. And so we're having these solar flares and these solar storms and plasma rays. And the funniest thing is that this plasma is called coronas. And so, you know, they tried to use that to make us afraid of coronas, right? And they told us to stay inside and away from the sun and all of this stuff. But those coronas are what raises the frequency in, like, a much faster way. Thank you. That we're forced to deal with. And the funny thing, it's not funny, but, like, it was kind of a meditation I was having the other day. you know, like when I drive, I kind of go and go, like, I'm safe at driving, but I go into kind of autopilot and I think about a lot of things. And I was thinking, like, how interesting, right? Like, the sun is what is going to really, like, help fix this place unpurified. And even prophecy, you know, says, like, the blue sun with its, you know, like, the fire and the purification. But also I was thinking, okay, like, Jesus, Yeshua, whatever you want to call him, he is the sun coming back with a flaming sword this time. And then you've got the physical sun with the plasma rays and with the purification of the fucking, like, or sorry to say that word, but like the blue fire, right? And like how incredibly neat is that, right? To like, it all lines up in such a perfect way, you know, and it's just too cool. And then I was thinking about Misau, who is the deity for the Hopi specifically, and a lot of our tribes actually, that, you know, was said to be the first higher being that came and spoke to us right after we were created and came up from underground. And anyway, he is represented with a crown of thorns on his head. He's really beat up because he has just been in this massive spiritual battle. And that also has always reminded me of Jesus. And so, you know, like, I think that's really cool. And I have noticed, like, I've been experimenting with people a little bit, which sounds terrible, but like at the grocery store, you know, like the girls and I will have conversations specifically about, you know, like we are checking ingredients and we're making sure it doesn't say bioengineered food ingredients on the label and different things. And we have kind of political conversations about food and just about life in general at the store. And usually, you know, you get people that look at you like you have five heads and, you know, or get visibly angry at you. And recently, everybody has been, like, nodding and agreeing or even coming up and talking to me about, like, I heard what you were saying and that's the truth. Or coming up and, like, asking me for a hug again or giving me a hug, which, like, didn't happen for a while because everyone was scared of each other. And I really do think that people are getting better.
Yeah, I think they are.
Because you, if you're in the bubble of the news or the TV, it's, you know, you're still, you know, danger, Will Robinson mode. But people are really thriving in their, I think it's, they're in their own power. They are released from, the majority of people saw that this was much to do about nothing. And whether they want to be vocal about it or not, or, and I've still seen some, like with the chin strap mask, it's like, what are you doing? This is, you're crazy. But maybe in their little heads, they're like, this is not, I am master of my own destiny. So I think they all have this newfound freedom of some sort. And like they made it through we all made it through a terrible experience together. So maybe we're all treating each other a little better. I don't know. It's a weird kind of dynamic, but I'm seeing it. And then on the other hand, then you've got this segment that's just completely unaware of their surroundings.
Yeah.
And that's why I was having a conversation with the guy at the dealership the other day, because I was like, it's like the Sims game, and he's like, he totally agreed. He's like, it's, yeah, people are in a whole different world of stupid. He had a woman just actually drove right into him. It's like she didn't even try stopping. She saw me. She was a little like, he's like, you're going to stop, right? And she didn't. She just didn't even know what she was doing or why he was there. And it was like, but you're in the car driving. You need to be aware. And it's kind of like they're just nuts. They're on automatic pilot for some reason.
I think some of those people don't see us anymore, too. You know, like literally prophecy tells us that it will become so divided and our frequency will become so much higher that as our frequency becomes higher and they choose, you know, and it's not like a punishment. Like everybody's like, oh, the Creator's chosen people. No, you're chosen because you chose to be, you know, like because you're choosing to follow the narrow path and the, you know, the path that's not more difficult right now, but it was for the, like, our entire lives. It's been a more difficult, really persecuted path often. And now it's getting better finally, but you know, like, but it wasn't always, and we chose that. And that's why we're chosen. I don't think that the great Creator picks any favorite, but we choose it. Yeah. Just like, you know, it's not a punishment if you're staying at a low frequency. it's a choice, you know, like you're eating low frequency food, you're watching low frequency television or television, whatever you want to call it, you know, like you're doing all of these things, and that's just all a personal choice. But those people can, you know, they're not bad, they're just not on our frequency anymore, and so we can see them, but I feel like they cannot see us anymore unless we choose to interact with them, you know, like otherwise it's almost like we're just like protected from them. And I've had people run right into me, like walking. You know, I'd get really confused because you weren't there a second ago, but as soon as they touch me, all of a sudden I'm there for them. And I really
right.
think that it's going to be more and more that way, which is why I don't fear, like, all of this. You know, it's always like the fear porn. Like, you need to be afraid of, you know, the military coming to your house to vaccinate you, and now you need to be afraid of 15-minute cities and internment. But I am not, because I really yeah. think that those people, and I've had dreams about them, like, going door-to-door, rounding people up, but they cannot see us, and so they don't try to take us anywhere, you know, because they don't know that we even exist, and so we're out thriving in our own space. And I really think more and more it's going to become that way.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, to go to, that reminds, you know, different instances in the Bible where angels would protect different people, and they were like, they walked right past them. They were because they were at a different frequency. That's just like so. It explains so much, and it is like angelic protection on a certain level.
Yeah,
I think that's very, very cool.
Very, very cool.
And the other thing with angels that I'm so excited about, I'll have to look up. I'm driving right now, so I cannot look it up, but later, if you want, I can look it up and put it in the chat or say it or whatever. But there's a Bible verse that I came across this week. I was like praying and meditating, and I told you earlier I was feeling pretty discouraged, and I asked, you know, like, can you please give me like better confirmation and just like remind me, you know, that I'm not schizophrenic, I'm not crazy, this is really happening and it's all okay. And my Bible went flying across the room, hit the wall, and landed at my feet. And when I opened it up, it was different books, literally about what's happening right now. And one of the verses was very interesting because, you know, I've been, like, paying attention to Arrow Farms and Apeel, which is, you know, Bill Gates' new thing to vaccinate our food this month and also to put that plastic that you cannot wash off around the vegetables. And so anyway, in this verse, it was talking about how in the end times, the chosen people will touch other people and it will instantly heal them. And they will be protected. And there's an entire verse talking about, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but talking about how we will be able to handle snakes, which I thought was interesting because of Watch the Water, whether that's accurate information or not,
right.
Still interesting. And then after that, it said, and they will be able to drink and eat poison, and it will not harm them. And I was like, that's exactly what it is, right? Because we were so worried, well, some of us, and me included, were so kind of concerned about shedding of the vaccine at the beginning and the spike protein.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we might have had some, like, illness because of it, but we never got impacted in, like, a really bad way, right? Like, we never became vaccinated, like people were saying, because of the shedding. And, you know, the titanium dioxide that's in, like, everything now can alter your DNA. But our DNA seems to be fine, right? Like, and it's activating more and more. And, like, that verse made me feel much better because I was like, okay, look, you know, they can. And it made me laugh at these pathetic 13 bloodlines because they can do all of the things, but they cannot touch us unless we choose to be impacted. You know, like, if we choose to go get the vaccine, then, of course, it can affect us.
Right.
But if they put it in our food and we unknowingly eat that food, it cannot alter us. And I thought that was pretty good.
And where did you hear this from?
It's in the Bible. And as soon as I get home, I'll be able to look it up and find the verse for you. I'm just driving and I forgot to write down what the verse was.
This is no. My mistake. But That's fantastic. I hold the same types of beliefs that you do because, you know, we're promised protection. And the choice is always out there between good and bad. And no matter what, there's evil everywhere on any scale. And as long as you do not consent, you're protected. If you, you know, as long as
absolutely, as long as we're doing our best,
what level? Because it's like I forgot about all of that. That Daniel's like, any good news? I'm like, I can't think of any because, yes, they're vaccinating our food supplies. It's kind of like, I'm sorry, unless you want to become, you know, now you're going to be vegan, but we got vegan poison in your food already for that, but you can't have bacon because they're all vaccinated. I'm like, no. There's going to be a bunch of farmers that are going to be like, hell no, we're not doing this. And you patriotic freedom farmers someplace that we're not going to succumb to the death shot for our food supply. But it just seems to be getting so much more absurd every second that this goes on. And it's like, no, I just keep faith. I pray every day. I know in my heart that manifestation thing, faith without works is dead. You just think the good thoughts and know that you're protected and continually work towards that, and you're protected. That's how it works. And you've got, there's many
absolutely
words for it, many different beliefs of the high vibrational, whatever. But the basic concept works. It's true. It's proven. And therefore, I'm not going to worry about this. The never-ending plague of the MR, they want to change our DNA so badly. And it's like, what is up with you people?
It's because it's Christ's DNA, you know, like it spells out God eternal within the body, and it is our connection to our Creator, you know, and they're very jealous of it, and they have been since Lucifer, you know, chose to fall. They've all been so jealous of our DNA because, you know, the Creator can make anything that He wants, obviously, but the way that He made us was a little different. He actually breathed His own breath of life into each of us. And when that happened, that is what gave us our soul. So there are beings that don't have souls, and they're not bad, or, you know, like, they're not evil. They just, you know, like angels, for example, like, they don't have a soul because they're not in a human form, and they don't need one, you know, but, like, we have our soul, and that is our connection to the Creator, and it also is what allows us to manifest and create our own things in small ways, because it's literally a piece of the Creator. They want to take that fragments of the Creator away from us, and the only way to do that is to break our DNA so that our DNA, you know, like now with the vaccine, the DNA is 666 strands rather than the 144 crystalline strands, and it will no longer say God eternal within the body, you know, and like that is their end goal because they're terrified of us. Like people fear demons, but really they're little punks and they're scared of us. Because they can't create anything. They can only copy and paste what's already been made, you know, and they can only pervert it and make it ugly. But we don't have to choose to go along with it. I mean, just like the Dalai Lama, right? They're trying to invert everything. And that's not the real Dalai Lama. You know, he was kidnapped in 1996 with his family and teacher. But the lucky part about it is that I'm grateful that that happened, not to that little boy, but to wake people up, you know, like he has supported the Clinton Foundation, Nixon, you know, he has supported John of God. And after he was arrested and jailed, you know, like he gave him robes, like he's not a good guy, but I'm glad that he publicly did that. And I, you know, I think it's silly that people are like, well, that's culture. Like, yeah, sticking out your tongue maybe, but not the comments that he made about it. But, you know, like the great thing is now more and more people are like, well, shit, if I can't trust the Dalai Lama, then what can I trust? Maybe I should only trust myself, you know, and like that becomes really a good thing, I think, as long as we're still like trusting each other, you know. But yes, like anything that is shown to you as something that you should follow and something that should be a role model, very probably is not, you know.
Okay, and on that note, I only had two videos planned today. We already did the first one. The second one is about the Dalai Lama incident. You guys down for listening to that?
I am. And I was going to say, you know who is just hauntingly silent? And Richard Gere is nowhere to be found. Speaks volumes. So, yeah, roll that tape. And let's hear that.
Awesome. Okay, so here we go. 3, 2, 1.
So here's the Dalai Lama. You heard about what he did? He asked some kid to suck his tongue. You want to see it? So first he gives a, give me a kiss on the mouth. He gives the kid a kiss on the mouth. Everybody laughs. He's laughing. They're all laughing. Everybody laughs. Give me the head. And then
suck my tongue.
He just says it. Suck my tongue. And everybody laughs. Ah.
Boy. Guys got the best quotes.
And everybody just laughs. So,
I like how the kid didn't do it because he genuinely was baffled by it.
Yeah, he just went. Yeah, he didn't suck his tongue.
He didn't give me tongue.
No, it seems weird that the Dalai Lama would keep this inside until he was 87 years old and start doing this shit, right? Because
well,
he hasn't done
George this Bush wait until he was 90 to start randomly grabbing asses?
Yes, you're right.
This is George H.W. Bush years.
So maybe that's what he's doing. By the way, I'm not a big fan of, like, I don't want to say I'm not a big fan of the Dalai Lama, but, well, here, Michael Parenti will tell you.
This idea that he's a humble, spiritual man with just a robe and a bowl and a prayer bead isn't really what the Dalai Lama is all about. I'm Michael Parenti, a political writer, author, and noted after-dinner raconteur. He headed a social system that was exploitative, terribly unequal, and terribly brutal.
Tibet was Shangri-La. That is, if you were the Dalai Lama. No wonder he wants it back. He had a palace and a pile of servants. The rest of the Tibetans lived in huts and ate roast barley meal and yak butter tea.
You had a privileged priest class living in utter luxury and opulence, and you had a mass of serfs living in utter misery.
And if you broke the law, then torture and mutilation, including eye gouging, the pulling out of tongues, and even disemboweling were reportedly common punishments. The Dalai Lama sounds more like Mo Howard than a saint. Why? As this State Department internal memo reveals, the Dalai Lama at one time took $180,000 a year from the CIA for his living expenses. And $1.5 million a year from the spy agency to finance Tibetan guerrilla operations against the Chinese, which included running a covert guerrilla training center in Colorado.
So I don't cotton to that kind of.
That'd be pretty cool, being a killer trained by the Dalai Lama.
By the Dalai Lama.
Don't piss him off; he'll pull your eyes out, dude.
So I've heard that before, that he was in bed with the CIA and that he's. You're given money to go train. What kind of a Buddhist?
Yeah, well, a bunch of Americans don't know jack shit about Buddhism because it's much like Catholicism. It's like all the isms. It's all like a bunch of war and exploitation, just like every other kind of thing around the world. It's not.
I always thought Buddhism was better than Western religions. And
yeah, it's a common. It's a common like Western.
But here they are. I mean, I guess just because it's all based on meditation and stuff like that.
I'm sure the teaching, if people were Christian, you wouldn't have these wars, I'm sure the basic teaching is not bad, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. Isn't he the Pope of it?
I've read books about Buddhism. I've read, Buddhism Made Simple. I read that book.
Is he like the Pope?
Yeah.
Of all the
I think he is. He's the Dalai Lama.
I know he... No, I didn't know he was the guy. How long has he been in charge?
I don't know. But the people over at CNN really took it hard.
Vatican, anybody that's read the Book of Joy with Archbishop Desmond Tutu knows that the Dalai Lama can be a joker. But I think there's no surprise that this
he's a joker. That was him joker-ing. That's what she said. But this woman's going to really take it hard. I do think he was joking. I do think that's not what he was doing. He was just trying to be stupid. And
did you hear what he did to Richard Gere?
Watch this woman. She looks like she's getting ready to take it hard, and she's gonna. Watch this.
Outrage, consternation, all across the internet and beyond.
And severe backlash for the 14th Dalai Lama as well, Julia. People have called it outrageous. They've called it inappropriate across social media after that clip emerged. Sunday evening local time here in India. I want to take you through the sequence of events, and I want to make it very clear that it's extremely disturbing for our viewers to actually watch that interaction between the minor boy and the Dalai Lama in northern India. Now, this incident dates back to February this year, and what we can see in the video is the boy going up to the Dalai Lama and asking for a hug. The Dalai Lama then calls him on stage, invites him on stage, and also asks him to give him a kiss on the cheek along with that hug, and the boy obliges. Moments later, you see the Dalai Lama then asking him to kiss him on his mouth. And then he brings in the boy's chin, and he kisses the boy on the mouth. Now, this is disturbing enough. And then seconds later, the Dalai Lama asks the boy to actually go ahead and also suck his tongue.
Boy, it was hard for her to say that. And all she kept putting words in front of it before she said it. She didn't want to say it.
They had different social distancing rules.
Boy.
Jonah Hill had to 3D model his fake kiss in his Netflix movie. Hey, Dalai Lama's here sucking tongues.
Sucking tongues.
For people across social media and otherwise, it's led to a lot of backlash, like I mentioned, because of which 6 weeks after this incident, and mind you, not before, the Dalai Lama's office has now come out with a statement where they've said that the Dalai Lama regrets the incident. And I'm going to read a bit of that press statement as well. It says a video clip has been circulating that shows a recent meeting when a young boy asked His Holiness the Dalai Lama if he could give him a hug. His Holiness wishes to apologize to the boy and his family as well as his many friends across the world for the hurt his words may have caused. Interesting to note that they're talking about the words and how it may have hurt people, the words and not the actions that you see in that video. That's been the only reaction we've got yet. We did put across a lot of questions to the Dalai Lama's office, but they only responded with the press statement that they have put out, which then continues to read, His Holiness often teases people he meets in an innocent and playful way, even in public and before cameras.
It's a goof.
He regrets the incident, clearly for a lot of people across social media, this is more than just teasing. It has upset huge sections of people on social media, on Twitter, that have called it, like I said, absolutely disappointing, absolutely disturbing, and absolutely inappropriate behavior by the Tibetan spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama.
I like how she speaks. She doesn't say Dalai Lama. She said Dalai Lama. Dalai.
She's saying like his first name is that.
Is Dalai.
Not the...
Right, is Dalai Lama?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Dalai, what are you doing?
And that was what was the word she just said right now? That was funny. She didn't say Tibetan, she said Tibetan. Tibetan. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, she's obviously hurt.
Well, you never teased the boy with your tongue.
You can't. Wow, people are upset. Like that's the report. People are upset on social media.
I mean,
across the internet. Anyway, I think it's I think it's going to blow over, but I'm not a big fan of having like gurus, even though you know Ram Dass talks about his guru and what a great guy he was, blah blah blah, blah. I'm sure if I met Carl Jung, I would probably guru it up with him. But
yeah,
anyway.
But that's just a very strange thing to. That's like an old senile guy. Have you ever seen him interviewed before? He really is like curly or something. The way he's real nyuk
yeah, he is.
Jokes.
He's always like that. Right.
I remember they asked about him. They're going to say, everybody should get in their own country.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I did a video. I think the video title was The Dalai Lama Sounds Like Trump on Immigrants.
Yeah, right.
He's like, people should stay in their own country. That's what he said. That's what Trump says. They're not sending their best, Kurt. They're not sending their best.
I told you I thought that's how he transfers the mantle of Dalai Lama to the next llama.
With
you have to
tongue.
Suck his tongue, yeah.
You have to suck his tongue, and then you become the llama.
You choose between a ball, a mirror, and a brush or whatever. Then you suck his tongue. Then you absorb the 15th. It's like becoming Doctor Who in a way.
Yeah. Go to JimmyDore.com to see my new stand-up special, COVID Lies Are Funny. For only $10, you get to become a premium member, too. And come see us do our live shows. We're going to be doing stand-up comedy in Milwaukee, Nashville, Honolulu, Los Angeles, Northampton, Massachusetts, Syracuse, New York, Cohoes, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Baltimore, Maryland, and more. Go to JimmyDore.com for a link for all those tickets.
Okay.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, be quiet.
You know what? Quiet. You know, They didn't.
Be quiet.
Okay.
Lily's back.
Hey there.
Hello? Oh my God, am I on the radio? That's great.
Yeah.
You're on live, baby.
No, everyone's
going to be quiet. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so sorry. My teenager's yelling at me and berating me because a cat has adopted my youngest daughter, and so I've been feeding him. And anyway, so I was like, be quiet, because I'm not going to fight with her, but I didn't know I was live. I apologize.
Dude, you're a mom.
I had to push number one, and I thought you had to push one because my phone died, so I called back in, and I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
Apparently, you don't have to push one.
I can just unmute you. I just learned something new today.
Well, I'm so sorry. Thank the creator. I was only saying be quiet and, like, nothing bad.
Shut the fuck up.
Dude, I told my daughter to shut up like 14 times today, like in one little episode. So I'm not judging anybody. Oh, we love it and we love you. Basically the same situation. You're already aware of the situation, Lily. The Dalai Lama is a fraud. I think we all know that. And he's bought and paid for literally by our CIA.
And you know what's funny about that is back when they gave him sanctuary, they saved the Dalai Lama from the evil CCP that was coming in to destroy the Tibet. We did such a good thing, but we didn't do anything for the rest of the Tibetans. Just the Dalai Lama. And that was why, you know, when you're like, we paid? Yes, we protected him. It was a good thing. And they forgot that he was the leader of a group of people. And we just turned our back on all of that and allowed all the desecration and Nepal and Tibetans and the rounding up of the Tibetan monks were the first inhabitants of these death camps that are education camps for the Uyghurs. And somehow we saw ourselves as the good guys. And, you know, what are we going to do with the Dalai? Well, now that we have him, well, we got to put him on the payroll. And, you know, the nefarious works of, you know, who knew that they had a training camp of little assassins in Colorado. That was news to me on that. But the rest of that video, after he said, now suck my tongue, he continued with making this child hug him and hold him. And you could see the body language of this child completely tensed up and didn't want this man touching him anymore. And his hand, he put his hand down in his lap. And I thought, he's making him feel him out as he's holding. I'm like, what kind of hideous after we watching here, and it was a Joe Biden moment, you know, like this crazy old man, you know, he's like the drunk uncle, pull my finger. Everyone laughed at it, and it was the most disturbing thing I have ever seen.
Totally.
In the fact that
we have a caller. I'm not sure if this is I don't recognize the number, so if you guys are game, I'll let him in.
Absolutely. I hope it's George.
And this one did push one. I'll wait till you push one in the future, Lily. I'm sorry.
Hey, folks.
No, don't be.
Doing
you're
great.
Telling
how
me
are
about
you?
The Dalai Lama over there doing creeper Biden things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was trying my best to do the Wisconsin thing.
Oh. And what's your name? Are you? Have you called in before?
I don't know this show. I'm friends with Greg.
Oh, okay, awesome.
I'm Joshua.
Welcome.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We are just
good to meet you.
Some witty banter going on. What's on your mind, my friend? Glad you called in.
There's a bunch of weird stuff happening all the time. You know, I can't keep the Wisconsin thing up. You know, I try really hard, but I don't have that cheese head then. I'm from Illinois. I apologize.
It's okay. I'm from Illinois too, so we're comrades in arms.
Oh, we're both going to hell. Okay, cool. Well, at least
no,
there's one of us.
We live in hell. It was 80 degrees yesterday. 80 degrees, and it's freezing fucking cold right now. The actual snowflakes were coming.
You know
down
what? And then there's going to be a volcano that's going to pop up. I don't know why I keep going back to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin looks nice right now. They have an actual snowstorm going on. I'd rather have full-blown weather than just this mediocre, you know, it's cold and rainy. It could turn into an ice storm. Any
Well, I've been cold for the last 6 months, and I live in San Diego, so no bueno.
You're not even – okay, can I – do you want me to do it? You're not even people.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. What other topics were you guys talking about? I wasn't trying to interrupt. I thought that was really funny to call in.
With what's going on, we made it from what the hell were we talking about for 3 hours?
Dalai Lama. Well, we talked. The Dalai Lama was last. We talked about the leaks earlier. The Discord Pentagon paper.
Oh no! You guys want to tap in on that? A 21-year-old, a guy that could barely have a job at a gas station, had freaking access to sensitive documents.
Yeah, well, the military, that's...
I want you to know I'm putting my hand on my hip right now. I'm being very Midwestern about this. How the heck did a child... Okay, first of all, the youngest person that we sent to the moon, you know, I don't even know who that... I don't know how old they were. They were older than our age to elect a president. And we're giving them, like, access to classified documents?
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it, you know? And especially, I doubt the military... I don't even trust myself with that information. True. But I doubt the military is extra plush at the moment. I think that, you know, recruitment is down. You know, they just kicked a bunch of people out for not being vaccinated.
We're just picking them up at Build-A-Bear.
Yeah,
they're over
there
building bears. And you're just like, yeah, you're now in charge of something really important to our national security. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
how did we
military.
Fall so
well, I really don't. I'm thinking that perhaps maybe his grandfather has a Corvette and he was just, you know, rifling through papers and decided, hey, this
that
is
that Corvette. Yeah, that Corvette special security privilege. Yeah.
That's
plenty
good.
Of garage space. That makes sense.
They make it sound like he stole. He broke into Fort Knox and took these things.
He was responsible for it. But we talked earlier about this, that it's not really...
He's in the reserves. The story doesn't make sense.
I know, he's not even a main person. he shows up on the weekends, like, once a month. He's not even an actual person.
Here's his assailants are 14-year-old boys that are playing like Minecraft or some weird, you know, Roblox or something. It was let into the chat room of these gaming rooms and then went down to an obscure Telegram station. And my thoughts on this is this is going to lead for the total crackdown on all chat rooms, all forms of if it's not a secure, you know, state-run platform, there shall be no banter because no platform is safe because national security.
I'm going to say it. You're the modern day.
You're the modern day
Nostradamus.
I drink and I know things. I just make shit up as I go along. This is what we call wisdom of the sages, of the ages. But I really think that this is opening the door for what they really want, is there will be no more uninhibited speech on the Internet, period.
Right.
It's too dangerous for national security.
You're
going to
call this crowdsourcing. This is crowdsourcing.
I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm very offensive when I speak. That's not going to work for me. I'm over there calling guys and chicks. I don't know how to play it.
Okay, so we just talked a little bit. This is another thing that we talked about, is that my husband just got like a really, really good job. And it's a government job, like for a city. It's for the city.
So I'm allowed to make fun of him. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
right,
he's
now
definitely an unelected bureaucrat for sure. But like, he's going to do good with it. He's just, but not even yet.
I bet, like all the rest of them. Yeah.
Well, he still has to have his FBI come back. Like, we're still waiting for the FBI check, but like, it's a really good deal. We were talking last night about this, and we've talked about it before, but is basically like, if he's forced as a city employee to put his pronouns in, you know, in, he said he's going to do.
Oh my God. Please tell me that his pronouns are Megatron and something else.
He said he's going to go with like she, her. And, you know, and I'm
a
lesbian.
Oh, that's lazy. That's just so lazy.
No, but and don't you dare tell me that I'm anything different. And let me tell you, there is nothing feminine about my husband. He's got hair. He's got a beard, you know. So that's his thing. It's like, you want to come at me, bro, and tell me that I'm not a, you know what I
think would be the greatest thing in the world?
Hmm.
If guys, NBA players start identifying as females going into the WNBA, and every single game, while they're slam dunking over these broads, they put their lady nuts on their forehead. Respectfully.
Yeah, well, you know, that might have to happen. Although all you really need is like one or two UFC fighters to males saying, you know, declaring that they're female.
Why are we playing this game?
Why?
That's already happened, Danielle, man. And this man, this biological man dressing up as a woman, fractured as five or six women's skulls.
I'm like 5'8". I could Rajon Rondo the entire WNBA.
I would just
be passing behind my back and not even looking.
I mean, yeah.
The more absurd it becomes, though, like the better, in my opinion, because then,
let me ask you, guys
you
a
know,
question.
Then we're forced to admit how stupid it all is.
Right, exactly. Let me ask you guys a question. Why is it that archaeologists dig up bones? How are they able to know if it's male or female? Like, they know right away. Can we just get back to the basics, folks?
How dare you be so sexist in all the isms, and it's...
Archaeology is now racist. It's been outlawed.
Yeah,
I want to ask you a question.
Is all the new... Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, serious. It's physiological facts.
Yeah.
Men's bones
go
are
ahead,
bigger
Lily.
Than women.
I'm just doing arm circles at this point. I'm worked up. Let's go.
No, yeah. Lily, you had a question?
Yeah, what I want to ask is, did you realize, because I did not realize this until recently when I've been doing like some extra reading, but did you realize that like the demons in the Bible and in other prophecies like the jinn that are talked about in Hindu and Islamic cultures and all of these different things, they refer to themselves consistently throughout all of the spiritual and religious texts as they, them, because they are legion. And while they may be in other bodies and like different vessels, they are all one hive mind that is called legion, that is a they, them. It's very interesting that they're trying to convince all of us to be a they, them.
Yes.
Did I realize that? Yes, absolutely. I'm Catholic.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
I just thought it was interesting, you know, like that even in,
not even just
the Bible, you know, but like in all of, because they like to use our tribes and say like, oh, well, these people are two-spirit and the tribes worship the two-spirit. Like, that is such garbage, and it makes me so
curious.
You know,
that only came out in the 90s, right?
The two-spirit were not trans, and they were not gay either, or lesbian, or bisexual. They were simply people that were so balanced in their divine masculine and divine feminine that they were so spiritually connected.
Teamwork here. The two-spirit concept came out in the early 90s. That's not a real thing. It's never been a real thing.
Well, there were real two-spirit people that our elders talk about, but they were like the Heyoka, the sacred clowns, you know? Like, they were medicine people that were very much celebrated, and, you know, like, people would go to them for anything they needed, but they were not trans, and they were not, like, men dressed up as women.
No, I want to know more about that. You said sacred clowns?
Yeah, sacred, yeah. Like performers or gestures or something like that? Is that what you said? Clowns?
No,
Danielle,
you'll love them.
No, I'm not insulting that concept at all.
I honestly have never heard the concept. You're right.
I just want to know where they're at, and I'm pretty sure that they are kindred spirits to my Irish heritage.
There aren't very many sacred clowns anymore because when the 13 bloodlines came here, like the people they persecuted and killed first were the medicine people, but the sacred clowns, or Heyoka as they're called, like, they have the most powerful medicine because it is laughter, but also they were the only people who were, like, they were so backwards and unconventional that people would laugh at them, but, like, very much with respect, right? And they were the only people that, like, if the chief was holding a war party council or the grandmothers were holding a matriarchal council and they noticed that something was not going well or something was wrong and absurd with society, they would make it more absurd very loudly so that everybody would be forced to look at themselves and maybe fix the problem. And so they were known for, like, holding up mirrors. Two people, they would walk up to you, and there are still some that do this today, but they would walk up to you and put a mirror in your face, and it was a way to show you, you know, like, you're making a bad choice, you need to turn around, you know, or like today with all of, like, the trans stuff, and I'm not saying people can't be different genders and that cannot be fluid, because I know that, whatever, that's, like, a whole discussion, right, because gender is part of natural law. However, the way that we're doing it is totally insane and inverted and satanic and gross.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, like the sacred clowns, the Heyoka would have come out, you know, like making a mockery and making fun of it and being very, like, over-exaggerated and silly. And the people in olden times would have looked at that and been like, yeah, you're right. This is ridiculous. And they would have stopped doing it. So they were, like, super respected. But, you know, they were also called sacred idiots or sacred clowns because, you know, the whole point was to be backwards and, you know, really extra so that people would pay attention.
Yeah. Like, or like court.
Yeah,
judges,
no, those are my
right?
people. Like, if anybody came up to me and they were holding a mirror up to me, I would be talking completely normally. I would be explaining my policy prescription. And then they raised a mirror up to me and I made eye contact with myself. Then I would just start speaking in tongues because why not, you know?
Well, you're only supposed to do that if there's somebody there to translate.
Oh, it's all going to be in binary.
All right, that'll work. Touché. Okay, I'm loving this conversation. I'm sad we only have 15 minutes left.
Well, you know, the thing is we've become such a obnoxious culture where we feel everyone must see everything we do, whether it be what you had for dinner or what my mood is for the day, and now you need to know what my sexual life is and which color, you know, nobody cares. You're more than welcome to be
right.
whatever you want. You don't need, you're not
you're telling
old.
Me that you're telling me that
me. Look at me,
you're
look
telling
at
me that my
no one cares.
My sexuality being exclusively attracted to robots from the future? You're telling me that doesn't make me special?
Yeah, no.
Not
well,
yet.
I mean, kind of it does
yeah.
in a certain way.
Yeah, I went out of my way to make that happen. That did not work.
But seriously, if we extended the Aztec calendar more, we'll have more months for you to have. Everyone can have their special days. But there's no point. You know, just
pardon
calm the fuck down and be an adult. No one really cares. And that's where we're at right now. It's like we're in hyperbolic, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, isn't that weird how much nobody actually cares what you're doing at all? Isn't that weird?
Right.
How nobody, like, forever, like, nobody's ever cared what you're doing. And then magically,
like,
social media pops up and everybody cares. Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah. People
but desperately
care.
But they also really don't care.
MTV.
I feel like people have not gotten out of the id stage of the ego, you know, like how you learn about in psychology in high school or whatever, and you learn about the ego and the id and how, like, adolescents specifically are stuck in the id, and so they will assume that all people are looking at them and judging them and having thoughts about them all
Somebody
the time,
just admitted
you know,
that
and
you
so they feel kind
girl.
Of like, well, they feel kind of awkward and uncomfortable, right? And they try to, like, fit in, and that's when that's in your life, like the stage in your life where you kind of experiment with who you are and what, like, who you want to be, right? I think most adults, as Ty used to say, they peaked in high school. I think most adults are stuck in adolescence, stuck in the id part of their ego where they really think everyone cares a lot and they want to be special and they want to make up for a lack of a personality by being part of a group and belonging to something. And we've been so displaced from our culture. We're so displaced from our cultures and from our ancestors and from who we truly are that we seek that out in weird ways. You know, and so now, like, the thing is for everyone to jump on board of something and be that thing. And it's trendy, and I feel like they're just adolescents. And I had a friend yesterday who made a live feed. You know, she's a trans person, and she made a live feed. And my comment was just, you know, like, I don't think it's that people hate trans people. I think it's that both sides are obnoxious, right? Like, on one side, you have some really hateful people. I try to be in the middle. But then on the other side, you have people forcing everybody to change words and change the dictionary, change pronouns, and be really, like, the same as them. Whereas before, you had people that were trans, but nobody hated them because they weren't forcing anything on anybody else. You know, it's like this force and this threat to sovereignty, I think, that people hate. They don't hate whether you're trans or not. You know, they hate that you're trying to, like, force them into all these weird situations they don't want to be in.
Can I say something very offensive?
Sure, go ahead.
Please do.
Hold on. I need to say this from the gut. I know,
yeah.
I know. Let's all get into it.
Yeah.
Dylan Mulvaney is the product of 100% social media and 0% going out of your way to better yourself as a person, to have a likable personality.
Also, CIA.
Yeah, and also, has anybody ever seen in the same room with Ben Shapiro? Because if you really just give her a haircut.
Okay, you know what? Don't you be talking crap about my guy, Ben Shapiro.
Never come on our show.
Why did I go to New York for that?
You know what?
I'm just stating facts here. They look alike.
No, they don't. Ben Shapiro looks like Brett Cooper. He doesn't look like Dylan Mulvaney. Dylan Mulvaney looks like Dylan Mulvaney as a guy.
I beg to differ. I've seen that. Also, Rachel Maddow and Tucker Carlson.
No,
you know,
Rachel Maddow looks like Michael Knowles.
The uncomfortable smile of a corporate fist up their ass. Yes, yes, they do look alike.
Rachel Maddow totally looks like a man.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
I love Tucker Carlson. I think he's actually speaking the truth. I'm just saying, has anybody ever seen him in the same room at the same time?
No. What? You know, is this what we do? Is this what? Okay, we're tossing out conspiracy theories.
Yes.
I got one.
I mean,
are you ready?
Welcome to the show.
You've never seen Vladimir Putin and Vladimir Zelensky in the same room.
Also, Andrew Jackson and Jeffrey Epstein look a whole lot alike. I'm just
Absolutely.
You're saying that he's alive?
No, I'm saying they look alike. I'm saying if you put a picture, like, you get a 20 and you look at it, and then you look at a picture of Jeffrey Epstein. Hear me out. I'm telling you, they look
that sounds like a really hot tamale. I probably wouldn't put my hands on that one.
I thought you were about being offensive. Come on.
Oh, no, I'm happy to be offensive. I'm not going to be retarded.
Okay, that was offensive. No,
I'm okay
of course, they're just crazy conspiracy theories. I know, but anyway.
So Tupac is
in Cuba.
Well,
if we're
going
to be called as that, we might be
that?
True to form.
God, I hope he's alive. You know what? I've got, you know, Tupac
is in Cuba. There's no way. There's no way he's not.
Oh, I hope he is. I mean, we do have a connection with the show. Okay, so Cynthia McKinney, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's a friend of the show and a friend of mine. And she was close with the family, the Tupac family. So, I mean, I don't know. I could have a conversation. Maybe she doesn't
know. How many trips has she made to Cuba in the past 5 years?
That's an excellent question. I think I'll ask her.
That is the best question. That is the only question.
I will ask her.
Oh, and then she's going to answer, and then everything goes to shit.
Well, no, it wouldn't. No, I'm telling you. I'm.
Is it a good place to go? Is Cuba?
Well, it doesn't matter. If Tupac is there, it definitely is the cool place to go. I really wish he's alive.
You know, we only recently were able to go there. This is a brand new thing.
Yeah, I do know that. I have some friends who went down there. They said,
white suburban people.
Said, make sure that you bring ice trays because ice down there, it's like you got to know a guy. It's like buying pot, you know. It's like, I know a guy around the corner, for, you know, like, let me just go make sure. Are you a cop? Yeah, I got some ice for you. So if you ever go, just a little tip, bring some ice trays.
Avoid the entire island because that seems to be pointless. I got you. I'm already
Gitmo's,
on it.
Gitmo's there. That's not pointless.
No, I'm never going to Cuba. I'm not, the same way that I'm never going to like Vietnam. You know, a little bit of bad blood.
Well, I don't know, but Vietnam was all staged. I think we should apologize. Like, there was no, our boats were not being shot at. I think it was the Ticonderoga was not
Did
being shot at.
Did they kill tens of thousands of Americans? Oh, I don't know.
Why were they there?
I'm not here to call
numbers.
Why were
they were done?
Exactly. An Agent Orange.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but like, if somebody comes into my house with guns, I'm going to shoot them.
Absolutely.
Yes, you are a responsible American. I appreciate that very much. But if Americans show up in Korea or Cambodia, Vietnam, you know, I can understand being a little person. You might want to not. But they didn't. The Vietnamese did not bow. They went apeshit, and I appreciate them for that.
And they won. We lost that war. I don't know if anybody knows this, but we lost Vietnam. Like,
we killed two times as many people as they killed ours. So.
And okay, yeah.
Really
so
win?
That's a win, or is that a genocide? You know, like that's not a win to me. I mean, we killed a bunch of people and then they went right back in. That's not a win.
Right.
They stopped doing their communist stuff, though, didn't they?
Did
that
they?
Was the whole point.
Is that why we were there? We were spreading
stuff,
democracy.
Okay, I'm sorry. You guys were talking over each other.
Oh, sorry. Like I don't think that we were there to spread democracy, and it
no,
was,
we were there to stop. It was the post Korean War. We were there to just stop the influence of USSR. And who won that mofo, by the way? USA. Nobody?
What,
okay.
Won what?
The USSR was great
the
before the Bolsheviks, though.
So. Yeah, that's true.
We won the Cold War. You guys have to love that
Kumitan
a little bit.
China actually was who we were trying to stop. We were trying to stop all of Korea from becoming North Korea. Russia had nothing to do with Vietnam.
I know, but they're in the top 10 economy for countries all over the world right now. The South Koreans love Americans.
Well, so is Russia.
Russia's they're not okay with us.
And they shouldn't be okay with us. because of what we're doing.
We've scapegoated them for decades for no reason, all based on lies. And Putin, every time I've heard him speak, is very reasonable, and he is not lying. Like, everything he says about United States hegemony and unilateralism and other countries putting their allies even at risk is true. You know, it's all true. Yeah. We are the rich country, it's the military for the 13 bloodline.
Right after the end of World War II, we should have gone to war with Russia.
What? Yeah. Russia fought the Nazis and won against the Nazis. Russia was never a Nazi. They fought them. They're fighting the real Nazis in the Ukraine now.
Oh, you're saying that Hitler and Stalin weren't homeboys until Hitler came into his turf? Yeah, they were homeboys.
Russia still... The United States did not defeat the Nazis. Russia did, and Russia is fighting the Nazis again now in the Ukraine.
Russia... No, okay, first of all, I don't know if you know the history of Russia when it comes to violence. Russia sucks at war. I don't know if you knew that. The reason that Napoleon Bonaparte failed...
Oh, my God.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know, Hitler didn't die, right? You know, Hitler went to Argentina.
Right, he went to Argentina.
Yeah.
And Barack Obama is his grandson or great-grandson.
Well, I don't know about that, but there's CIA documents saying that, like, showing CIA, you know, assets.
Did you hear when Tucker Carlson literally said that the CIA killed JFK?
Yes, of course they did.
Yes.
Of course they did. I wasn't talking about that. You guys are taking me way off. You guys are taking me off topic here.
Well, the CIA is evil. I think we all agree with that, right?
Back to Vietnam or
Bud
Light?
The CIA is garbage. I really hope we disband them entirely. There is no reason for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they killed JFK, because he wanted to disband
the CIA. He was about to destroy the CIA and the FBI. He was about to destroy it.
Yep.
He's like, there's no point for you because all the states have the capacity to intermingle with each other when it comes to investigation. There's no reason for this to be on a federal level. But then they're over there on Langley right now smoking cigars that we could not
afford. Right, exactly. And honestly, you know, you talked about, you know, the Cold War and, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? It's part of the big, you know, part of the Cold War and all that stuff. Like, that all happened in Cuba. Like, how do we know anything that they say about Cuba is real? How do we know that our history is telling us the truth about Cuba, about Germany, about Russia?
Because hold on, one at a time. I've met Cubans when I lived in Florida, and they were very sad people. And they came to America, and they became very happy people because we gave them money. Yeah.
They don't have any ice down.
I'm sorry, what was your next one?
Yeah, but there's no ice down it. Yeah, I would really, really sad if I didn't have ice, I think.
Doesn't work too well in Cuba, but
what I'm saying is that how do we know that the history that's being provided to us is actually real? How do we know what happened? Because remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, and obviously the Bay of Pigs incident, like that was a debacle, you know, a CIA, you know, operation gone terribly wrong. If Cuba is
such
a horrible
place, you're being very inquisitive, and these are fair questions. Continue.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what about like Gitmo? Why? I mean, if it's such a, you know, a hostile place, you know, why is the United States so we're not allowed to go there, but like a good chunk of the island is dedicated to our, you know, to Guantanamo, to Gitmo, to our terrorists, right? Like that's what's going on there. Like there's all these holes, you know, and why is it that the CIA comes out and tells us that Hitler didn't die after World War II, that he went to Argentina?
Why
are there huge German, you know, colonies in South America? Why is that?
You're asking reasonable questions, and I do not have the answers.
Well,
I'm going to tell you that right now. I have no idea.
Because our government is corrupt and they lie to us. Our history.
Oh yeah, no, anybody could have said that.
Yeah, our history is bullshit.
That's,
you know,
the cornerstone of America is we don't trust the government.
Well,
Republicans, that's adorable.
Class.
The Whigs,
Yeah, we've got 60 seconds left. The show's about to end. Damn, this is a great conversation. Please call back next week, you know, if you can. We're here every Sunday from 3 to 6 Pacific time. Love the conversation. To everyone else, love you guys. Thank you for being my rocks. And obviously, you're welcome back every week. With that, please share this episode if you can. We love you, and we will talk to you next week.
Love you.
Love you.
Ciao, Bella.